It's Friday! Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia! Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for Friday on the Front Porch, this 27th day of September, 2019. We have one more broadcast left in the month of September. September 2019 will close thoroughly unironically on a Moran Monday. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll get the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable going in just a little bit. If you'd like to be part of that Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, run over to headon.live and click on the Skype link. It'll carry you into the group. And before you know it, we'll be chatting merrily away. Yes, we will. If you'd like to double up on the fun and the carrying on, well, I highly invite you to run on over by headon.live and click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password. And jump in where you will be immediately jump into the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room. You will there be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Dowhead and Squeaky. And I'm sure more will arrive even before the tardy bell rings at 5 past. We don't have one, just a cowbell. You'll be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. And also moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Oh, it's been a beautiful day today. This is one of those days that feels like summer will never end, but I know all too well that it will. Even here in the heat, here in the fabulous Horn Studio at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, well, it is it's 85 degrees in here, so maybe this is one of the last manifestations of Naked Radio of the year. I hope not, but it's here, and that's why there's, among other things, that's why there's no video running, because it's Naked Radio. Yes. With climate change being what it is, Randy and PA, you could very well be correct. September is the new August, Bob. I had a lot of fun today. It was just gorgeous. So I stood outside. I've got a little workstation I created on top of the outdoor refrigerator. And so Agnes said after I did the crab cakes for my daughter and grandchildren at the beginning of the week, Agnes said she would be interested in having some. And so I stood out there, and I finally minced up a red bell pepper, and I finally minced up a couple of little jalapenos, and minced up some celery, and minced up some onion, and minced up some green onion. Put that all in a bowl and set it aside. Sat down, got out the dreaded mayonnaise, and the finely ground Creole mustard, and got the horseradish, and worked up a big bowl of homemade remoulade to go with the crab cakes. And let's see, what else? Mayo, mustard, horseradish, some Tony Sacheries, paprika, yeah. A little bit of chopped parsley. And it wanted pickle juice and hot sauce. But I compromised. I thought, ooh, I can do even better than that. I've still got some Amish pickle juice left over from July in the refrigerator. I'm saving it for barbecue sauce. But so instead of using like Crystal hot sauce and some pickle juice, I thought, well now wait a minute. And so I dosed it with Trader Joe's yuzu sauce, which we all know that I've been known to just, you know, drink through a straw from time to time because I'm weird that way. And then I worked up the crab cakes, got the griddle going, smoking hot, and then backed it off a little bit, melted butter on it, patted out the crab cakes, dusted them in Zatarain's seasoned fish fry that has a little bit of lemon essence to it, and set them. And it takes no time at all for them to fry up on the griddle. And yes, in fact, I'm told by the lovely Agnes that they were indeed wonderful. I mean, I had a couple too, but I depend on her to tell me whether they're fit to eat or not. And it's still beautiful outside. As I was sitting here getting ready to start the program, I kind of cursed myself because I've been meaning all summer long, and I don't know how. Well, mostly it's probably because I don't make lists. I should do better at making lists. But I think maybe before the good weather is gone, I will get that one mic hooked up so that I can wander around outside and do the program from out in the yard while maybe Agnes sits in here and rides shotgun on the board. Because it's hard not to be outside right now. It's beautiful out there. You know, and I just had a pair. I know, I'm not trying to blind anybody or make anybody feel the horror. But I just had on a pair of shorts, and I'm trying to get as much sunlight on my pale pink body as I possibly could. The neighbors were, of course, well, they couldn't have enjoyed any of the crab cakes because I ruined their lunch for them. You know, all that, you know, it's like that 1950s horror movie, you know, the science fiction thriller, whatever, The Colossal Man, just Glenn Manning, oh my God. Yeah. But it was just a lovely day. And I do that, and I'll tinker around and do little things over the course of the weekend, just trying to hold the crazy at bay. Because that's kind of what we have to do to get from one day to the next, from now until either January the 20th, 2021, or if we don't get our shit together, January the 20th, 2025. Mm-hmm. Well, I understand. Steve in New York pointing out, subject line, the weirdness. I was hoping, because it's a lot to handle, that the increase in weirdness would be more linear. The exponential daily increases are dizzying. Oh, that they are. And that's why I keep saying the only thing we can do is recognize it, prepare for it, strap in, cope with it. It's one of those roller coaster rides where if you're not strapped in real good, you will get thrown out in the turn. Well, okay. How did you know, Brother Deacon Asa? Brother Deacon Asa noting, and you wonder why your neighbors occasionally resort to shooting at you. It's the Speedos, Bob. It's the Speedos. Well, daggummit. I mean, it's just too early and too warm to go for, the parka and the knee-high Uggs and the insulated Levi's. Ew. Ew. But hey, if you're listening right now to this program when it's live, We're in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, and that means we've gotten past close of business. So maybe we've gotten to the weirdness, the week's end of weirdness. Lord knows the day began with and this is a calculated scientific term, a shit ton of weirdness in the form of rage tweeting from our mentally damaged imitation president. And we'll get into all of that as we get further into the program. Oh, good, thank you, Randy and PA. Check the forecast. The forecast is for Naked Radio on Monday as well, with the same high temperature of 84 and a slight chance of rain. It's been pretty droughty around here. We've got a no burn notice on, as I mentioned before, and you know, even if I fire up the smoker or something, I try to keep a close eye on it because shit can catch and go in a hurry. And by the way, this program always begins with gratitude. And so for this 27th day of the month, thanks go out to our friend of long standing, Robert in Australia, and to, there's the J I was looking for, to Jules. So thank you, Jules, and thank you, Robert, for being partial sponsors of the program for this, the 27th day of the month. And okay, then, that means we've got all the housekeeping taken care of, and it's time to jump back into the wild, wild world of weird. We found out something new today. The spirochetes that swim around between nitwit Nero's ears do not know the difference between an apostrophe and a hyphen. Because, as I said, he was rage-tweeting earlier today, and one of the things he rage-tweeted about was the fact that CNN reported on the fact that he made reference in another rage-tweet to Lidl, spelled L-I-D-D-L-E, Lidl, and he added an apostrophe, Adam Schiff. CNN, apparently, left out the apostrophe, and this enraged that sad, sick, venal, criminal, damaged mind to send out another tweet complaining about the lack of the apostrophe, only he didn't call it an apostrophe. He called it a hyphen, an H-Y-P-H-E-N hyphen. He did manage to spell hyphen correctly, but it wasn't a hyphen. It was an apostrophe. This led some people to assume that he didn't know the difference between a hyphen and an apostrophe. At first, I thought the same thing. But upon further review, as the guys in the striped shirts say, I realized that was not the case. No. It wasn't that he didn't know the difference between a hyphen and apostrophe. It's that he can't spell apostrophe. Because he never bothered to, well, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And one of the things that he doesn't know is anything about the origin of words. But as a longtime practitioner of the art of word knowing myself, I can tell you that the fact that the letters S-T-R-O-P-H-E, strophe, appear in it, that's a word of Greek origin. But as far as Nitwit Nero is concerned, it could just as well be a word that was transmitted to Earth from the multi-limbed amorphous alien race on Norblap 9. Yeah. Angry about, well, he's angry about everything. Who are we kidding? So we've got that going for us. And a whole bunch of other stuff that doesn't even have anything to do with Nitwit Nero. Monique with a message. Real talk, Bob, is this finally the beginning of the end? Like when Nixon knew it was over? No, we're not there yet. This is more Churchillian. This is not the beginning of the end, but as Churchill noted many years ago, it could very well be the end of the beginning. Monique saying we'll deal with Pence and all, but that orange hateful bastard will be gone. See, that's the fly in the ointment. Because the way this Ukraine affair is shaping up, because he thinks like a mobster, Chlamydia Claudius made sure to implicate his own vice president as well, so that he's in it up to his neck, like we talked about last night. Implicated in all of this venality and criminality and this this mob behavior are Tangerine Tiberius himself, Mike Pencil Neck Geek, Mike Pompeo at the Department of State, Mick Mulvaney, who, depending on when you catch him up to whatever which skullduggery, heads the Office of Management and Budget and is the titular chief of staff to Nitwit Nero. And, of course, no list of criminality in this regime would be complete without Bill Barr to prosecution. They're all in it up to their dirty little eyebrows. And although he's not technically a part of the administration, we would be remiss if we did not also take into account the massive exposure that Rudy Giuliani has, who has now taken to showing people text messages that he received from the Department of State telling him to involve himself in this ongoing criminal conspiracy. Now, Rudy is a former federal prosecutor, a former United States attorney for the Southern District of New York. And so he knows how it works when people who are about to get stone cold busted want to try to keep a little bit of the heat off of them. So what all of this is, a lot of people are, is he drunk? Is he nuts? Is he crazy? No. He's signaling to the authorities that he knows where the bodies are buried, and he's willing to share that information if shit gets particularly egregious. Flavio says, I hope you don't forget to mention the New York Times' outing of the whistleblower. Well, they didn't. The Times is catching a lot of shit for what they did do, and the Wall Street Journal, too. Wall Street Journal did it first, but the Times is catching the hell for it. Not that I'm defending the Times. But they didn't give the person's name, and they did not. They gave basic information. And they justified it by saying that given the fact that Geezer Disgustus had already slimed the individual, that people needed to understand what it was that made other people think that this individual was credible. Because, of course, there's already an onslaught against the individual arguing, as Julius Geezer did, that this person was a political hack. Not for nothing, but the CIA is not particularly known as a den of liberal Democrats. The CIA is about as authoritarian as it gets, maybe short of the FBI. And it really doesn't. Authoritarian regimes like that, authoritarian structures, don't really lend themselves to being places where people with liberal leanings like to go and hang out. Yeah, okay, I guess we could argue that, say that, Flavio. They narrowed down the possible identity of the whistleblower. Okay. But the whistleblower's identity is still not known, and that is still driving dipshit Donnie right up a tree. And given the fact that he's tweeting out threats against the whistleblower, yeah, that's a little nervous-making, and it was a call that is marginal at best on the part of the New York Times. But again, we're talking about the New York Times. And so consequently, it should come as no surprise that they would behave in such a skeevy fashion. And alongside that that issue with the Times, we should probably take into account a story that they published and which went out as a tweet to the story that got busted practically before the electrons that carried it into the interweb tubes were cold. And what I mean by that is the story. They did one of their sickening pieces about impeachment and the swing voter, you know, that elusive person who just can't quite make up their mind on how they plan to vote in the presidential election in November 2020. It was, and it turned out to be ridiculous from jump. Let's see. There it is. Took me a minute. When it reminded me in a way, I know this is going to seem terribly shallow. It reminded me in a way of the years and years and years ago when Don Nealon was the head coach of the West Virginia University Mountaineers. If it was third and more than 10, everybody in the stadium, including like if parents brought a little newborn with them to their first Mountaineer game, that little newborn would immediately learn to speak, and the first word out of the newborn's mouth would be, "Draw!" It got so bad that in the student section on 3rd and 21, we would all yell at the same time, "Draw!" It's not like we were giving anything away to the opposing team. They knew it was coming, too. Don Nealon, on 3rd and long, was going to call a draw play because once upon a time in, like, 1980, it worked. And he was still waiting for it to work again. Well, in the case of the New York Times, it would be funny if it weren't so sad. One individual said, "I'm sure the media, New York Times, I'm looking at you, will find six swing white guys in a diner somewhere who claim they were on the fence and impeachment made them decide to vote Trump. They're lying. They were with him all along. They were always going to be with him." And then this happened. A woman by the name of Sabrina Tavernese, who is a reporter at the New York Times, tweeted the following: "I talked with six swing voters today.
Impeachment repelled every one of them. This could cost Dems at polls. Great Iowa and Colorado insights from Trip Gabriel and Jack Healy.
That's when a guy named Matt McDermott swung into action. He's a pollster. But more than that, he is simply well-versed in the behavior of the New York Times. The name of the article from the New York Times was, or the title was, Elated, Furious, Wary. Impeachment Divides Voters Like Everything Trump. And so, well, Matt McDermott deconstructed the people that were quoted in the article. And he said, no, the New York Times did not talk to six swing voters about impeachment. The article quotes a handful of devout GOP voters whom the New York Times has repeatedly interviewed multiple times. For instance, the article also includes an interview with Trisha, who admits she's been to 23 Trump campaign rallies. 23. She wrote a book about Trump. New York Times has interviewed her at least twice in the past 2 years. She's a Trump fanatic, not a swing voter. Then there's Reggie. Reggie was highlighted in an AP story last year entitled, In the Heart of Trump Country, His Base Remains Unshaken. Reggie has a portrait of Robert E. Lee hanging in his living room. No, Reggie is not a swing voter. And went on and took it apart piece by piece by piece. And it made the New York Times such a laughingstock for being so transparently dedicated to creating this bullshit anti-impeachment dichotomy that Sabrina Tavernese eventually tweeted, I deleted a tweet I wrote last night that didn't give the full picture of the story I helped report yesterday with 9 colleagues on voters' reaction to impeachment. There were a range of views from all over the country. It wasn't focused on swing voters. And yet, somehow or another, she still can't quite understand that interviewing maggots about impeachment is probably not the best way to get to take the pulse of the nation in regard to a venal, crooked, brain-damaged, sick man who thinks that the law exists for everyone but him. And it's going to be like this all the way to November 2020. And so it becomes incumbent upon us to do our own homework, to think critically, to not accept whatever it is we're told. And that includes me. It includes anybody you listen to. I know there are a lot of people doing progressive talk who will tell you repeatedly, don't take my word for it. Go do your own reading. Now, these are phrases that are never heard behind the golden ditto microphone or coming out of the mouth of the Hannity job, that life support system for a haircut, or out of the mouth of Mark Levin with the voice made for print, or coming out of the mouth of Laura Ingram, or Fucker Carlson, or any of that lot. They don't... Because they don't want the maggots going and doing their own thinking. Hell, they're maggots in the first place because they didn't do their own thinking. They just saw that brain-damaged criminal coming down the golden elevator, hooting and hollering about Mexican rape. Mexican rapists, brooga brooga, warble whoosh, Mexican rapists, not sending their best, brown people Muslims, larb. And they said, that's the candidate for me. So we've got to strap in. Regarding impeachment divides voters, Brother Deacon Asa says, so let me get this straight, Bob. Finding out one's president is crooked as a crankshaft makes one more likely to walk into the voting booth and shoot oneself in the dick? I'll be damned. Well, if you're a maggot, it does. Oof. And here we go. I got other stuff to talk about this evening, but instead, I'm off and running, and we're knee-deep in the hoopla. But yeah, as David in South Carolina Stan points out, guess who's going to make a paid appearance next week at a conference that's been paid for by the Kremlin, and at which Vlad Putin is going, huggable, lovable, snuggable, cuddleable, Vlad Putin. Is the guy who wouldn't hurt anybody unless he decided he wanted to, and they were a journalist or gay or something, or gay journalist. God, if you're a gay journalist in Russia, you're fucked. And not in a good way. Yeah, Rudy Giuliani is going to go to a Kremlin-sponsored event. And curiously today, and I realize this is liable to make the millennials kind of cock their heads and look at the speakers. But for those of you who remember vinyl, you may remember the old logo image of the RCA Victor Corporation. It was a dog. Was it a pit bull? That was back before pit bulls had bad reputations. But it was some sort of white dog.
Why's the dog always got to be white, Bob?
It was some sort of white dog, and it was it was sitting and looking at the megaphone, I guess you'd call it, of an old Victrola. And the legend underneath, or the caption underneath, read, "His Master's Voice." Well, that's what I immediately thought of when I saw the story. About the fact that, well, Russia announced today that it certainly hoped the White House wouldn't release any transcripts of any calls with huggable, lovable, cuddleable, snuggleable Putin. They really wish that wouldn't happen. No, for real. The Reuters headline reads, "Kremlin says it hopes U.S. won't release details of Putin-Trump calls." I'll bet! Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov was asked about the White House's release of the reconstruction of the July 25th phone call when nitwit Nero tried to shake down Volodymyr Zelensky. Yeah, Peskov said, "It's not normal diplomatic practice to release confidential details of such calls. We hope bad state of ties with Washington will not lead to similar situation arising in Mother Russia's case." Which is another way of saying, "Hey, Donnie, nice little White House you got there. Be a shame. It would be shame if something happened to it." And I have no doubt that the message went all the way to where it was supposed to go. And yes, it was a disturbing image to have in one's noggin, but I had the image of Donald J. Trump crouched there by the Victrola, listening to his master's voice. Scott in San Diego pointing out the RCA dog was named Nipper, and he was a Jack Russell Terrier. That explains the confusion, because it was always not in motion when I saw photos of it, and I've never seen a Jack Russell Terrier being still. That megaphone thingy, Scott adds, not even an iota, ironically, I think, is called the horn. Son of a bitch. Okay, of course it is. Ron in Raleigh asks, did you hear during an interview about the Ukrainian phone call, Bowtie Boy Tucker Carlson had the temerity to say that he was nonpartisan? Well, did he? Because he also suggested that Adam, the sleaze, the filth attack against Adam Schiff has moved into overdrive. He also did an entire segment on how mentally ill Adam Schiff is. And if you understand, you know, there's a way to safely watch Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And it's this. Whatever they're complaining about and saying they're complaining about Democrats is actually something that exists in reality among Republicans or a particular Republican. So when Tucker Carlson says he's worried about Adam Schiff being mentally ill, what he really means is he knows that Donald Trump is mentally ill. And we have a split of opinion, and I guess we're going to have to, trial by combat? I don't know, because where Scott said that the Nipper was a Jack Russell Terrier, Ron in Raleigh says he's a Fox Terrier. The great, great controversies of our life. Now the great Nipper debate will probably consume the best part of the discussion this evening.
Stop telling us how to think about Trump crouching naked on his haunches, Bob.
Oh, there went dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, sports fans. Yeah, James in Illinois suggests, beware of guys with umbrellas. Yeah, and stay off small aircraft, Congressman Schiff. Well, that's why we do it here, Randy pointing out. You will never find the mainstream media explaining the phenomenon of psychological projection. But then again, you know, we're a small but happy little community. And we're happy because we live in the future. We see things coming that surprises other people. For instance, something that happened today. Didn't the dog have something around its neck? I think it had a collar on, maybe, Monique? Yes, Trey. It's got a collar on. I got a picture of it here, courtesy of Trey in Kentucky Stan, who confirms for us it is a smooth fox terrier. We know it was a smooth fox terrier because it could be seen in bars on weekends walking up with a martini in one paw saying, hey, baby, you want to see my etchings? That's a smooth fox terrier. But yes, Trey, whatever the Republicans say, the opposite is true. Yeah, it's kind of like that. And we've got an attempt here to mediate the great Nipper controversy. He was a mixed breed dog, says Trey, and probably part Jack Russell Terrier, although some sources suggest that he was a smooth fox terrier or part bull terrier. I had not seen that. Thank you for the update. Just before airtime, Eileen letting us know, Did you hear that Mike Pompeo, you know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. I can't resist adding that every time we say Pompeo. It's kind of like the horse whinnying in Young Frankenstein every time somebody says Blücher. Pompeo graduated first in his class at West Point. Did you hear that Mike Pompeo was subpoenaed just before airtime by three committees? And I'm sure he won't show up. Because this is the don't-give-a-fuck administration. All right. Beth in Dallas wants a picture of the Remoulade, or it didn't happen. After the show, Beth, after the show. There's only so much I can do at one time. But if I didn't really make the Remoulade, could I say this? Remoulade. In fact, I think had Lady LaBelle had Patti LaBelle sang Lady Remoulade, it probably would have made a lot more sense. I mean, I don't think you go to old New Orleans, you don't think about marmalade, you think about Remoulade. I met Remoulade down in old New Orleans, strutting her stuff on the street. Oh, it's definitely Friday. Definitely Friday. Randy says, I see things coming too, Bob, but I can't seem to do much about them. Sometimes you can't. It's kind of a Twilight Zone episode that way. You know what's coming. You can see it often, and you're trying to change it, but being aware of it is a big damn deal. And so it is that today we got news that the Senate had completed and released the results of its investigation into the National Ruble Association. This, as Joe Biden once said of the Affordable Care Act, is a big fucking deal. Because the central finding of the 77-page report is that the National Rifle Association served as a foreign asset for Mother Russia in the interval of time ahead of the 2016 quadrennial one-question IQ test, otherwise known as the November election. 18 months went into the preparation of this report of investigation. And the Senate Finance Committee's Democratic staff discovered that the National Ruble Association, again, I'm giving myself some props for that. I haven't seen anybody else refer to them as such, but they obviously are. I mean, remember, two things that have happened for years now. I've said that the National Rifle Association is the wealthiest, most powerful domestic terror organization in the United States, and I've referred to them as the National Ruble Association for their disgusting willingness to sell out their country to Mother Russia. And it turns out, both things are true. Oddly enough, last night in my conversation with Todd said that he feels kind of alone because he can't stop thinking about the work that Maria Butina did interfacing via the National Ruble Association with outfits like the National Prayer Breakfast. Those good, fine, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, fake-ass Christians. Well, maybe they're more real than we know. Maybe that's just how Christians are. I don't know. Who gathered every year to slime whatever Democrat was getting near to the nomination or running for office. You might recall, even,
that Dr. Ben Carson, the guy who thinks the pyramids of Egypt are fucking grain silos and has a portrait of him hanging out with his buddy Jeebus hanging in his fucking mansion. You might recall that Ben Carson rose to prominence by showing up at the National Prayer Breakfast and sliming all over Barack Obama. All of a sudden, he was immediately mentioned in Republican circles as, gosh, maybe he could be our black presidential candidate. Because, you know, that Herb Cain thing didn't work out quite so well. Among other things, the NRA went hammer and tongs to organize a 2015 visit by some of its leaders to Mother Russia. That was Pete Brownell. He was promised personal business opportunities, and the NRA covered some of his costs when he went sightseeing in Moscow. Among other things, they noted that it was referred to as an avalanche of proof. Yeah. Meanwhile, the National Ruble Association said, this here report is politically motivated, and that 2015 trip wasn't an official NRA trip. We just paid the bills. But there's a possibility, granted it's a slim one, but it's a possibility that the National Ruble Association may get its tax-exempt status yanked, which should have happened, God knows, a couple of generations back when they decided to go from an organization that focused on marksmanship and weapons handling to an overtly political organization bent on changing American society sufficiently that we could get rid of all that pesky civil society and self-governance instead live under a perpetual hostage situation arranged and orchestrated by the aforementioned National Ruble Association. It was it's a hell of a report, and you can go out and read it, all 77 pages of it or so. The NRA underwrote political access for Russian nationals Maria Butina and Alexander Torshin, more than previously known, even though the two had declared their ties to the Kremlin. One thing worth noting is Tennessee's junior senator, Marsha Goodness Blackburn, one of her closest associates, is up to his Muscovite eyebrows in National Ruble Association Russia canoodling. The name of the report is The NRA and Russia, How a Tax-Exempt Organization Became a Russian Asset. They spent, the NRA did, nearly a half a billion dollars in 2016. That was $100 million more than they had spent the previous year. Nearly $140 million on legislative programs and public affairs, a $30 million investment in Donald Trump's presidential campaign, and at least $20 million more to help GOP Senate candidates. You know, like Princess Lindsey Graham and Moscow Mitch McConnell and probably John Cornhole and most likely practically every other member
of the Republican caucus in the Senate of the United States. Just sort of bear that in mind every time you hear a senator come out and say, well, I ain't read that whistleblower complaint because Donald Trump done told me that it weren't even real. And so I ain't read it, but I know, I just know in my heart that there ain't nothing to it. And even if they had photographic evidence of Donald Trump pointing a gun at the president of Ukraine, it still wouldn't have nothing to it. It don't come to nothing, Mr. Finch. Nothing. Because, of course, one of the best traits of a Republican politician is their ability to get bought and, more importantly, stay bought. This is the danger in which we find ourselves. Oh, God. The RCA Victor dog debate will not go away. More divisive, says Flavio, than the Dreyfus affair. The Terrier affair. More divisive than the Dreyfus affair. Stay tuned. Watch this space. And just to, I saved this link over on a different machine. I usually don't do that. It was just 2 days ago when the National Review, that famous bastion of right-wing racism, published the following. Majority of Americans against Trump impeachment. Most Americans are against removing President Trump, according to a Quinnipiac University poll released Wednesday. Is there really a Quinnipiac University? I mean, I keep hearing of them. I keep wondering if it's like the Columbia School of Broadcasting, not associated with CBS. The poll was conducted from September 19th to the 23rd, before the Wednesday release of the transcript of a phone conversation between Trump and his Ukrainian counterpart. 37% of respondents to the poll said Trump should be impeached and removed from office, while 57% were against impeachment. The survey sample was 1,337 registered voters and had a 3.2 percentage margin of error. And yet that number has jumped up near 55% in a matter of basically a day. Which leads me to something that our buddy Steve in New York sent. Support for impeachment has increased 12 points in polls. I have to tell you this. I have a friend here in New York who keeps telling me that he thinks it's going to help Trump, that it's going to turn people off, that it's starting to take attention away from the Democratic candidates' discussion of issues, and that it is becoming a personality contest among Schumer, Trump, and Pelosi. I told my friend that it seemed as though he was reading David Brooks and the like, and yes, he told me he's been reading David Brooks and other pundits. I never read these talking heads because what they write is nothing more than opinion, which, like assholes, everyone has. I told him to stop reading the Times because he doesn't get nearly the whole story. This is one of those things about native New Yorkers that really pisses me off. They're so provincial in thinking that anything comes out of the New York Times is a complete picture of what's going on that they can't imagine that there is a lot that just doesn't appear in the Times. Here's what I wrote to him about why impeachment was actually necessary. One, without it, that would depress the Democratic base, making them stay home. We already know the Democratic base is much softer than the Republican base. The Republican base gets out and votes no matter what. Two, without it, our Constitution means nothing. If this doesn't warrant it, nothing does. In not impeaching, the precedent that the president can do anything he, she wants is set in stone. Three, we need to hold him accountable. Four, without it, we will not be able to repair any international alliances. He's broken so many deals that no country will trust us. We can't survive in a global environment without international alliances. With impeachment, it's the strongest statement our system can make that what he did was unacceptable. Without that, we are doomed. Ah, okay. Darlene in Connecticut would be one to be able to answer this. Yes, Quinnipiac. Yes, there it is. It's in the southern part of Connecticut. How about that? I thought that was Quahog University, but that's me. Randy tells me Quinnipiac Lake is a lake west of Wista. Am I saying it right, Terry? Wista? Have I got it, Kitty? Wista? A lake west of Wista. West of Wista. Don't try to say that too often. You're liable to hurt yourself. West of Wista, Massachusetts, where UMass is located, and it may be a subsidiary of UMass. No, it's... We know now, Randy, it is over there in Connecticut. James, writing on impeachment, says, you know it's going to take over daytime TV. I have to have my shows. Speaking of daytime TV, because we can't not do this. Yes, it's shallow as hell, but along the way on this crazy-ass roller coaster ride operated by Satan himself, we're going to have to take a break and do some shallow. So, naturally, over on The View, and I didn't even know The View existed until years and years ago when our dear friend Juanita became our official View correspondent. But then I began paying attention. And I can only imagine what it must be like to work on that set. Do you just come home at the end of the show and put the swirly straw in the rot gut bottle of tequila and just... Because there's a lot of woohoo, woohoo involved sometimes. And I saw this fairly early today. And once you hear the audio, you will understand why it's a minor miracle that I'm here for the conversation this evening. Because if there had been a bottle of rot gut tequila anywhere within easy reach of me, the program's probably... And of course, it centers on none other than the resident princess narcissist on that panel. You know who I'm talking about. Megan. Our sweet little nut Meg. Megan, who, if her last name was not McCain, would be working the midnight shift at a Waffle House somewhere. Because it's not like she brings anything of particular value to the discussion. Well, we know from long standing that whatever it is that's getting talked about on The View, it has to be about our little nut Meg. And today was no different. Nope. Today it was all about impeachment. And whether or not Adam Schiff is doing a good job or did a good job with yesterday's hearing. I, for one, think that knowing that he has had a career as a prosecuting attorney, he did a pretty good job. He also did a good job keeping the thing moving, but not according to Republicans. Let us join things in medias res.
Chef Bobby Blaze up in the co-host kitchen game with fearless flavor straight from his kitchen.
Congress was talking about the whistleblower yesterday. Trump was at a private event at the UN where he made this not-so-veiled threat. Watch.
Who's the person who gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? With spies and treason, right? We used to handle it a little differently than we do now.
First of all, he needs to take the word treason out of his mouth. Number one.
Sometimes it's hard not to love Joy. But so that sets the tone, and we're not going to run the whole clip because we got to get the extraordinary ordinary roundtable fired up. Let's see here. And one of the things that's interesting is that with these clips, you can. run along and run along and run along, and know that that Nutmeg always wants to have the last word. Everybody else gets to talk, and then Nutmeg jumps in. So let's pick up, just sort of anywhere, but here.
The American people, it was hard to pin the point, right? Of like, what was collusion? What can you actually nail him on? What is impeachable? This is pretty clear. And I got to the point a couple days ago, because I've been skeptical, because right. I feel like the media has been calling Wolf. You have Democrats that have been calling Wolf since before he was in office. And this.
Now, this is, Abby Huntsman runs a close second to Nutmeg in her willingness to carry water for the indefensible. Apparently she's too goddamn dim. And again, she would not be on this program. She would be waiting tables on the midnight shift alongside Meghan McCain if her last name wasn't Huntsman. To be clear about that, wealth privilege is a very real thing. But she doesn't trust the media. No. Even though she's a member of it. Shh. It's not confuser.
One, I think most people can understand this is not good.
Yeah. Okay,
this
Trump,
is bad.
Now, Trump is calling on Adam Schiff to resign. If you watched the thing yesterday, after his dramatization of the phone call that Trump made to the Ukrainian president, he did a little bit of a parody. Watch it.
This is the essence of what the president communicates. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only 7 times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked. My summary of the president's call was meant to be at least part in parody. The fact that that's not clear is a separate problem in and of itself. Of course,
you mean you don't understand? Wow. Y'all is slow. Is what he's saying. And, of course, the slowest man in America, namely the President of the United States, said, Adam Schiff totally said things that I didn't say. I didn't say those things that he said I said. He should resign for being a bald-faced liar. L-I-R-E, probably. Right.
The President never said, if you don't understand me, I'm going to say it 7 more times.
You know, sometimes the jokes should be left to the comedians.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that that worked exactly, but I think he was going for a laugh somehow. And it reminds me of when Trump went, Russia, if you're listening, go and find Hillary's email.
I didn't read it. That wasn't a joke.
And maybe the Second Amendment people take care of her.
I didn't read it. I didn't read it as a joke at all, actually, because when I read the transcript, it sounded a lot like some of the wiretaps that I listened to when I was a federal prosecutor. And remember that Adam Schiff was a federal prosecutor, and I think what he was liking.
God bless you, Sonny Halston. But this is not going to wash with Nutmeg.
It too was when a mafia don says, "I got, I'm asking you for a favor. I'm going to give you an offer you can't refuse."
Yeah,
and I think that's
there's
where
a lot of
going.
That going around.
But I think if you have
going.
To clarify that it's a parody, you've done it wrong.
Yes.
I also think tonally, when you're opening up the investigation into impeaching our president about possible trades for information for money.
This is Nutmeg.
This is not a time for parody at all. Right. I can't stand Adam Schiff. I think he's the worst kind of partisan in Washington, and they should have some kind of person.
Time out. Nutmeg just said that Adam Schiff is the worst kind of partisan in Washington. Obviously, Nutmeg has never seen a clip of, say, Louis Asparagus Gohmert or Steve Cantaloupe's I've Got a Confederate Flag on My Desk, but I Come from Iowa King. No, she's never heard from any of that. She's never seen a clip from her dear old dead daddy's former best BFF, Lindsey Graham. What do you mean you can't hear me on? Okay. Oh,
Okay. God only knows why it was muted. That should be fixed. Adam Schiff is the worst kind of... But the part that had me ready to eat dirt and run rabbits, well, get the... If I didn't have to keep talking, I'd have the hockey puck in for this one.
It's in like a Joe Manchin running this. Someone...
Con! Now, let's remember, please, that Joe Manchin, well, not much of a Democrat, but he's not at all a member of the House of Representatives. He's a senator.
Up the investigation into impeaching our president about possible trades for information for money. This is not a time for parody at all. I can't stand Adam Schiff. I think he's the worst kind of partisan in Washington, and they should have some kind of person like a Joe Manchin running this, someone that conservatives are more comfortable with, because he has proven himself to be a partisan hack over and over. And no, with all due respect, you're on the left.
Yeah.
I'm on the right, and I'm telling you, I don't trust him. And the problem with, as the final holdout,
who would you
I just
trust
said
on
Joe
the
Manchin.
Left. Oh, Joe Manchin's in the Senate.
I know, but I'm just saying someone in that vein.
Manchin is Republican by all.
But someone in that vein.
Even Nancy, I think, would be better.
The point I'm trying to make is that I don't trust Adam Schiff, and I'm the last holdout, as usual, at this table about impeachment on all things. And I will say that they should have someone up there who is not going to make a parody of it, not going to have to clarify themselves in any way, someone who's very serious, who's going to lay this out to conservatives and Republicans and Trumpers in the middle of the country who are confused, who don't want a redo of Mueller and the Russian.
But let's face it, that was one small parody. If you've listened to Adam Schiff from the very beginning, he has been cogent.
He has been clear. He's on the intelligence committee.
So he needs to
Adam
not get
Schiff
cute.
Is but, the man.
Okay,
he is fantastic.
I have to say, though,
but with all due respect, again, he doesn't need you. He needs me.
He needs you.
For the final time, these guys don't need anybody at this table except me to believe
it. It is a little bit...
Wow. Woman in the size 22 zebra suit says Adam Schiff needs her. Yes, that was catty as hell. But to the female members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, you look it. You got smart and tasteful. Joy, Abby, Anna, Sonny. Zebra suit. She's paid millions of dollars a year. I know, I'm not supposed to do that anymore. Ever. But if we can talk about Bernie's rumpled suit, equality. Come on, Nutmeg. Don't wear the zebra suit on the set. Save that for clubbing. But she wants a liberal like Joe Manchin. And it's all about her. We got to have a little levity on this program. We just got to. And that's just funny. I want a liberal like Joe Manchin that I can trust. Well, he's not in the House. Well, I know he's not in the House. No, she didn't. Steve's in New York, struggling to hold back his true feelings as to Nutmeg, says, no one gives a shit who you can't trust. God, shut the fuck up. Fuck conservatives. Fuck you. In a totally non-sexist way. Because, please, no Meghan McCain blather, said Steve. Too late. Damn your eyes! Too late. So, hopefully, they're hearing me over in the... fixed. Thank you. Agnes has wandered by.
Yeah, don't be a dick, Bob. It doesn't matter what Megan was wearing. Take into
account... Oh, look! Come on!
Nope, sorry. Let's take into the fact that this man has, eviscerated her dad.
Yeah, he's shit all over her daddy.
Exactly. His military service.
Shit on that, too.
Yeah, and she's talking.
Yeah, she's carrying water for him.
And wants Joe Manchin. Well, I'm a girl, and she's a bitch.
Well, I mean, come on, give me some cover. This is, look, tasteful. No, zebra suit.
It's not about what she.
Oh, come on, I'm begging, cover. Give me cover.
I'm not going to cover.
I need covering fire. I'm out here between the wire.
I would not wear that outfit.
Thank you.
But you're okay. But she's an idiot.
I mean, there's a time and a place for everything.
She needs to be taken up for her father.
Two in the morning in a disco with low light. That's the time and the place for that.
Okay, it looks great. Low light.
It looks great. No, that's what I mean.
No, it looks great under a black light. No, I like low light.
With the glow sticks and shit. And probably a little MDMA. I mean, whatever.
A little Kesha never hurt anyone. Behave.
Man, it's tough when you can't even get cover from it. I'll just hang out here between the wires. Oh, and no fundraising going on this evening, but thank you very kindly, Lady B, for kicking in this evening. Thank you very kindly. That's very sweet of you. Thank you so much. All right. Letting go now. Letting go now. Letting everything go. Everything go. Now that I've calmed down, the refreshing burst of flavor of a Thorazine Dark right in the side of my neck. Agnes, how did you know? Let's check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. You know what I do with spiders on my work table?
No, what?
This.
Ah. I thought maybe you dropped them down onto the little electrocution plate.
That's what I feel like with Megan McCain. Nasty.
Well, I just saw a piece of breaking news. Nitwit Nero's special envoy for Ukraine has called it quits. He'll be interviewed by the House's for the House impeachment inquiry next week. Another rat off the sinking ship.
He don't want no parts of this.
Well, the thing is, Trump, everybody in there knows that he will not defend anyone. Everybody goes under the bus sooner or later. I mean, he chucked Mike Pencil Neck Geek under there this week. I'd quit, too. In fact, it may be the... It may be the only patriotic thing that anybody can do.
Hey, Bob, did you see that post I made on the Horn Facebook page last night about that SoundCloud link? Reading the whistleblower's report?
No.
That is very good.
Oh, yeah? I didn't see that.
Rachel Maddow, Rachel Maddow recommended it last night. I don't know if she hired somebody to do it or who, but anyway, it's excellent. It's a voice actor, a female voice actor that reads it. It's very easy to follow along.
Oh, geez,
he names all kinds of people in Ukraine. And NBC has that ace reporter that... Engel?
Yeah. Richard Engel.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Richard Engel. Oh, I hope this isn't going to be one of those difficult connectivity evenings.
Oh, shit.
Let me see if life's any better if I change connections. If I lose you, connect me again, okay? Okay, I don't think I lost you. Okay, we're back. Or not.
I hear you, Bob.
Oh, good deal, good deal. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good, brother. Is anybody else here? It sounds like me and you got a two-way conversation going.
Hey guys.
No, everybody.
Ah, cool. Everybody, the gang's all here. Hey, everybody.
Troops the cat is here.
Oh, man.
Hey, Tracy, you heard how hard it was for me to get any cover from Agnes. Can I get a little help?
No, see, I just because I was on delay because I had to pause the show for a little while. So the last, I kind of only heard about Meghan McCain, and so I
well, that's what I mean. I got a little catty and commented on her size 22 zebra suit.
Yeah, that's the last thing I heard, and that's when I called in. So, in your defense, because we talked about her this morning and how she said that she's a size 8. Yeah, right. That's not
size 8.
Yeah, she has repeatedly said on national television that she's a size 8. Yeah.
At least a 14.
At least a 14. And again, I'm not trying to body shame her or anything. I have had my own struggles, as we all know, with, you know, my weight and everything. Oh, by the way, down another 1.2 pounds.
Go, Tracy. Go, Tracy.
38.6 pounds total. 30.9. So it's like I am almost 40 down 40 pounds. So look. But there is no way in freaking hell that I would ever go on. I mean, I'm looking at her. I'm like, no way is she a size 8. And all that, yes, I know the camera can add, you know, pounds on.
Yeah, it ain't going to add 6 sizes on.
It don't add no zebra suit.
Right. And then I'm listening to her, and when she says, you have to win me over, help her, please.
Fuck her.
You know, people like her and the rest of the Trump pansies, fuck them. I don't give a flying fuck if the cow ever gets run over. Nobody gives a fuck about her. I don't give a damn about her, her Trump pansy friends, anybody that fucking watches full motherfucking news. I don't care. Fuck them all. Fuck them with a steel rod with steel plates and barbed wire up the ass with no grease. Fuck them. I don't.
Holy fuck.
Don't hold back, Tracy. Don't hold back.
No. I'm tired of her and her minions and those people who think that we need them. I don't need them. They're 30% of the elect of the goddamn country. No.
Well, and I love the ego that goes into that though, Tracy. Because I don't mean you. I don't mean you. I mean her. Because I guess she thinks that if she says, "Well, I support impeachment and it's all about me," then suddenly the Jim Shorts Jordans and the Louis Asparagus Gohmerts and the Steve King Cantaloupes King and the Kevin McCarthys and all the rest of the maggot weirdos are going to look up and go, "Well, okay, the game's up. Meghan McCain's on board."
Little Nutmeg says, "You know, we were all wrong, y'all. You know, we should go ahead and impeach the motherfucker." Bitch, please. I'm sorry. No, I shouldn't say that, but I've been trying not to say bitch, please. Fuck it. Bitch, please. No, they are not going to change their minds. Like, Obama wasted 8 motherfucking years trying to work with these bastards. No, 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 no. They are racist. They are evil. They do not love this country. They only love themselves. They only love what they can do, what they can get out of this country. They are rapists. They rape and pillage and steal. They don't care. So fuck them. Okay, I'm done. I'm tired. I think I just blew a gasket.
Good. I need to interrupt for a minute.
I had an aneurysm. Shit. Okay, I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
No, Sparky.
Oh, Sparky.
Sparky. Steve in New York, you got screen share on your going on with your Skype.
Is that what that is? Yeah, it's messing with my head. I went ahead and just logged out and logged back in.
hey, Bob, real quick, I just want to know, is Megan the head end of the zebra or the ass end?
Well.
Wait a minute.
Bob, I was trying to save you. I didn't want you and your wife quarreling all weekend. It's a Friday. You don't want to get on her bad side. At least wait till Sunday before you want to, climb this hill, man.
Well, what size does she claim to be?
She claims to be a size 8.
She's not an 8.
I can straighten this out. I know some people that work for ABC in New York, where The Bear is produced. And I know that once upon a time, ABC was the perennial third network and really was a shoestring operation. But those days are long gone. They can afford good equipment. And I can assure you that the lenses in the cameras at ABC talk about adding a few pounds, the camera adding a few pounds. I can assure you the lenses in the cameras at ABC are not constructed carnival.
Don't add six sizes, though. That's ridiculous, man.
Those lenses are not from Carnival Funhouse.
She's probably more of a 16 than a 14. I'm being nice.
Well, I probably start. I started something bad. I shouldn't have gone down that road. But
you can, Bob, you know what? See, here's the problem. When you try to be, okay, because, again, we try to be nice. We try to be good people. And when you hear her talk shit and that in that entitled prima donna, and like you said, has she not won the DNA gene pool lottery?
Yeah. I mean, the only reason she's there is because she won the lucky sperm lottery.
She would be... working if there was still such a thing as a 5 and fucking dime, she would be behind the counter work Aquanet.
Spraying perfume on you, some.
No, see what I think. What I
be able to do that.
When I made the reference to Waffle House, that's no slur intended on Waffle House, because Waffle House can make make you very happy. But what I was thinking about was a segment by the late, great Prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, who talked about sitting in a Waffle House late one night, and he had a book, and the waitress came up, chomping her gum, and looked at him and said, "What you reading for?" Not what are you reading, but what are you reading for?
Oh my God!
And I can see that were it not for her wealth privilege, that would be nutmeg. By the way, we heard from Jeff on the left, formerly known as Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana. Megan's a size 8, and Donnie Dumbfuck weighs 239 and is a stable genius. Sure. Meanwhile, Glenn in San Diego says, "Fuck nutmeg and the zebra who rode her in."
All I know, that must have been one hellacious big zebra to yield that dress.
We're not going to...
See, now I'm going to have to go in the house and go look it up. Because, see, again, like I said, I am working on my weight and everything, and I understand. But again, I can't stand people like her. She is a waste of space. At least Abby Huntsman, she is a Republican, but she's not a tool. She's just a space holder. She doesn't really talk that much. And usually when she says stuff, I don't want to slap or choke her or punch her in her throat. Every time Meghan McCain opens her mouth, I want to punch her in her throat.
Her personality makes her ugly, Tracy.
That's what I'm saying.
Even beyond personality, it's the philosophy of it's all about me. I mean, do you remember when she unilaterally made herself an honorary Jew?
Oh, yes.
was that after the Pittsburgh shooting?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No. Because Lieberman.
Yeah, I know. You know, I know Joe Lieberman, and this hurt me. The Tree of Life shooting hurt me more than anybody else because I know a Jew.
Because I know a Jew. So because my wife is Jewish and I'm fucking a Jew, so does that make me honorarily Jewish or what?
I think so, Tracy.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't cross line, man.
We hear you, Steve.
No, I had my phone. I had my microphone on mute on the microphone, but it was unmuted on Skype, and I couldn't understand why no one could hear me. Now I know.
Bitten by technology. By the way, you got a big high five, Tracy, from Monique in New York, who and so did you, Steve, in New York. Monique said, "I'm a black woman, and I agree with Steve from New York. I am tired of these people."
You know, I tell you something else too. You know what the Republicans really don't like about Schiff is he was doing to them exactly what they have always done, and he did it better. But they've been doing that shit all the time. And look, all he was doing was adding. I mean, I knew that when he said the thing about, and I'm only going to repeat this seven more times. I knew he didn't really say that in the transcript. I knew it was commentary, but it was dead on appropriate. That's what he was doing.
So Steve, I got a question for you, brother. Since you're a lawyer, and Rick, you can weigh in on this too if you want. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When Trump got out yesterday, and this was supposed to be a closed-door meeting, and it was with the United Nations, and he said, well, you know what you used to do with spies, and mob speak, and everybody knew what the hell he meant. Isn't that a form of witness tampering?
If anybody else did it.
Well, or if he knew that there would be a witness.
He was talking to a room full of them.
Yeah. And it wasn't a UN meeting, Steve. It was a meeting for maggots. It was a private breakfast meeting for maggots at the Hotel Intercontinental.
Oh, well, I apologize. I couldn't remember exactly where it was, but I was just saying, damn, that's got to be witness tampering.
Well, I thought it was actually a breakfast for the UN mission.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was, but it was described as a private breakfast at the Hotel Intercontinental.
That's why. You know, did I'd like to know who
did came. Anybody?
Not Steve, please.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve. You'd like to know something.
Oh, I'd like to know who taped it.
Everybody. I see five cameras in there.
Well, it broke as soon as it happened on audio, and then today somebody's released a video of it. You know.
Yeah. I believe the credit line was the audio was released in the New York Times. So as to who recorded it, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because, I mean, if you release
LA Times released the audio first and then the video come out later last night.
Yeah.
They could roll that into these charges, I mean, and just pile on if I'm thinking correctly.
Well, I don't think that's it. What he did was, unfortunately, probably doesn't rise. It's not an impeachable thing.
But it's not. You don't think it's witness tampering? That's my concern.
Well, witness tampering is a crime, Steve.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas impeachable offenses, treason, bribery, and high crimes and misdemeanors, those are political acts of malfeasance in office.
God damn, we're splitting hairs, Bob.
Well, that's not hair splitting at all. Impeachable offenses are whatever the Congress says they are.
It basically represents the typical response of Republicans in today's world when they know they're cornered with reality or by reality, and that is to bloviate and bluster with some horse shit about Second Amendment solutions, okay? He was playing to
I don't hear that much Republicans out there screaming right now. I hear a bunch of them saying, "Oh, well, you know, this ain't bad. I mean, this ain't good for the president. This isn't. He shouldn't have done that and all that." That's just
John Bredevo. It's ramped up in the last day or so.
Oh yeah, and it's going to ramp up more because it's their only hope. You know, I said this on my show. And hello, Bob. How you doing?
I'm finer than frog's hair, John. How about
you? Good. I'm glad. I'm just tickled to death with the last few days. But we ain't there yet, baby. We ain't there. But my commentary the other day on my show was the fact that the Republicans have an opportunity here. And I think it's the only opportunity they have to salvage what little credibility the Republican Party has left in it. You know, you can either defend this piece of crap that's in there and go down with this ship, and it will be forever an asterisk next to your little name, or you can start standing up for the Constitution in this country and standing on the floor of the Senate and the House and speaking your mind, baby, and saying this ain't right. This isn't right.
It's like Jeff Flake, a couple of nights ago, we had the guy on MSNBC who said, you know, I've talked to a lot of senators, I've worked on campaigns. And he said, if the vote was taken in secret, there's 30 Republican senators who'd vote to remove him from office. Well, Jeff Flake got hold of that in the last 24 hours, and he said, no, 35.
There you go.
And it pisses me off, John, because the way I look at that is, so in other words, you're so scared of your constituency, and you're so obsessed with your continued power and position in the Senate that you are unwilling to actually honor your oath to the Constitution in public.
And let's push that as far as we can. That's what I am suggesting is that we stand on the floor of the House and the Senate and we start challenging them on their adherence to the Constitution. Are they serving the Constitution in their oath, or are they serving a low down stinking piece of shit in our House?
Not just that, John. It's also an indictment of their skill. I know this may sound like a small thing, but if you're a sitting senator of the United States, it takes a lot to get you chucked out of office. Because you're entrenched in your district. You've got entrenchment. You've got not your district, but your state. You've got the tremendous power of incumbency. You've got a war chest that won't quit. And if you can't go to your constituents and make the case that the Constitution of the United States is more important than a brain-damaged, venal, criminal...
Continue. Go ahead.
Semi-psychotic, doddering, bumbling...
That's where I'm at, buddy. If you can't do that,
you don't have any business in the supposed greatest debating society on the planet.
Amen, brother. Amen. This is it. That's how come I say they have an opportunity to save themselves and try to drag this damn piece of rag they call the Republican Party out of the freaking ditch that they have filled with racist and white nationalists and Klan members and every other stinking deplorable that you can think of. They let them in the party because it helped them. Well, now that's all they got in there, because anybody with a reasonable brain and any sense of patriotism left in their damn heart see this for what it is, and it's bad. It's disgusting, and he is. And it's a conspiracy.
Or Bob, we come back to the famous Occam's razor that Flake and whoever said that about this 30 or 35 people are giving us bullshit, and the senators in there are looking at Trump and thinking, well, we got Supreme Court justices we've always wanted. We're getting the government blown up the way we've always wanted. We have government so small that we can drown it in a bathtub like we've always wanted. So
what's not to love?
If I had to choose between whether or not 30 people actually would vote for it if it were private, or them actually liking this, I choose the second. I don't buy the 30 people would vote for it in private. I don't buy it. I don't think that's the case at all, because they like what's going on.
So did the Republican senators right before Nixon got his ass kicked out.
Yeah.
The Republican senators in Senate many times were the same way. In private, Nixon was a hot potato. He had a problem. But it wasn't until they were forced in the Senate, in public, that those senators turned on him. They'll eat their own, especially now. You know, we got everybody. We got Barr, Pompeo, Ross, Pence, Giuliani, just for fun. You know, this is a conspiracy.
I'd like to get your take on something, if I could.
What's that, Bob?
If you got a minute. I already know how Bob feels about this, but what do you feel about term limits? And there's not really a right or wrong answer.
I think term limits should apply to all, in the Senate and the House, too. I mean, that's that. There's only so much.
It's interesting. But I've heard both sides have good points, man.
You know, no. Term limits in government are truly suck. California, as the example, they put in term limits, and the only institutional memory is now sitting with the lobbyists. And the lobbyists write the bills.
Exactly right.
The lobbyists do every goddamn thing in the world.
We got
are simply there to put rubber stamps on them.
We have term limits
in California.
They're called elections.
Called the vote. Yeah, that's what it is. You know, if in fact California is being run by the lobbyists and they all stink and all that shit, isn't it the power of the people that can rise up and overturn that?
We have managed in California to be a very Democratic state with a Democratic, all those state offices and all that are Democrats. But even them being Democrats, the bills are still being written by lobbyists. It's just a different batch of them.
You know, since I started my show, I've said the same damn thing.
If we find
a damn disgusting Democrat, call his ass out. This is a big event here. We got a chance to take the White House, the Senate, and the House. But I don't want anybody laylaxing around down there in the Senate who's just barely hanging on to something. I want progressives, baby. I want to march our agenda forward. Republicans have a habit for years. Ever since Obama came in, Mitch McConnell came, ever since then, it's shoved up our ass. Everything they wanted, shoved up your ass. Oh, you want a Supreme Court justice? Kiss my ass. You ain't getting it. Everything they've done, they've shoved up our ass. I don't want any mercy on this shit. I want to take control of the White House, the Senate, and the House, and then start implementing the agenda that we want and fix all the crap that this asshole is trying to destroy, which is going to take years.
John, I don't disagree. I
want to see all that shit out, too. But what I am saying is that when you get a good member of the legislative body, right, I don't want them kicked out just because they've been there for 6 years.
No, well, that's where I am, because
Paul Simon from Illinois,
the single most anti-democratic thing that has been done in this country was the imposition of term limits upon the presidency. And you have to remember historically that was done by a Republican Congress that was pissed off and pouting because they could not beat FDR even when the man was halfway dead. He still whipped their asses every time they went up against him. And they said, oh, no, never again. But what that did, and, you know, we really haven't seen it come to fruition, but it's out there in the future. It's coming. It's on the way. There will come a time when the United States is going to need a three-term or four-term president again, okay? And we're not going to be able to have it. So we'll have to change horses in the middle of some massive crisis that is years long, and then we will be fucked, okay?
Because of
a conniption thrown by a bunch of goddamn Republicans.
Bob, beaten Obama for a third term. Anybody?
No. Obama would have
trounced. I think he would have took it hands down.
He would have trounced the field. And the other little thing that I would point out, the difference between the Republicans who went to Nixon and said, you know, it's over, and these Republicans now, those Republicans were in a distinct and decided minority in the Senate, and had been for rather a long time. And so, you know, them going to Nixon, if they lost their seats in the next cycle, it was still going to be a minority Senate, or a minority Republican caucus in the Senate. These fuckers are playing for keeps now, because they, you know, going all the way back, I mean, goddamn, a million years ago, to W's first term, when Karl Rove was running around scattering money and talking about building a permanent Republican majority. That is their goal. And so And so they will hang on to power by whatever means necessary.
Necessary. Bet your ass. Lie, Bob, cheat, steal, whatever it takes.
Another factor to remember in terms of the three people from the Hill who went to visit Nixon a couple of days before he finally resigned, you got to look at who they were. And you've got to make the distinction between Republicans of over 40 years ago and today. Okay, so there's that. But you had Barry Goldwater. You couldn't get a more conservative guy than that. You had John Rhodes, who was a congressman from Arizona. And you had Hugh Scott, who was a senator from Pennsylvania. These were all moral, capable legislators. Now, granted, they were Republicans, but like I say, Republicans then are a whole different breed in a lot of ways than the ones today. I don't even think they should. I don't think they should even call themselves Republicans, because they don't adhere to what Republicanism was.
To all the shit that they preached all the years, that they're physically conservative, that they're the moral majority, that they're all that bullshit they've sold for years. I've listened to it all these years, and it's the same bullshit every year.
And then you've got the problem. Nixon at least could grasp his political reality, if not the reality of the world at large. Trump, on the other hand, you could send the entire fucking Republican delegation from the Senate and the House down there, and he still would not grasp.
Well, let's do that. I'm not giving any quarter here. That's our only horse. We get up on horse and charge the hill, or it's going to end up like the freaking Mueller investigation. Oh, well, it's too bad, And even if we impeach him, it'll end up too bad. No, we need to charge the hill, baby. He's committed the crimes. There's a cover-up going on that evidently is a conspiracy for cover-up. This thing runs deep. Let's do it and force the Republicans to defend it.
John, I hear a lot of strategizing about packaging the articles of impeachment and what's the best path forward. And what's your thoughts on that? Do we throw everything in the kitchen sink, or do we focus strictly on Ukraine? Because that's something.
I think the best way forward right now, and who am I, because I remind my followers all the time, I'm nobody. I'm just Joe Blow American out here at the end of my street. Nobody knows or cares a shit who I am. But, we've been through this, and talks of impeachment have been going on. But this issue, and evidently, I think this is going to lead to a whole lot more, because wherever they put the transcript of this phone call, there are other phone calls on that same server. You can bet your ass there is. But that being said, we need to take what we have proof of, solid proof of it, and vote on articles of impeachment on this. And the whole Mueller investigation, the Russian investigation and all that plays right in with the psychic. I heard the poll today that the trend is starting to turn, and that more and more American, the public, are shifting towards impeachment.
It looks
If we don't keep this pressure up, it's gonna end up the same way after Mueller came out, and we all got excited. Oh, here it is! But we got 10 counts of obstruction of justice. We already have that in our pocket. It's proven. In the emoluments clause, with everything that's going on,
we've got at least 4 felony counts via campaign finance violations in which the president of the United States is already an unindicted co-conspirator. Let's not forget that.
I'm
sorry?
You do know the plan, don't you?
I don't know.
Tell him, Duncan. I do.
Adam Schiff is going to do his investigation. They ain't going on
vacation.
No, they better not.
They're going to be all the way through recess. Good. They're going to work on this thing constantly. Because the plan is, when they're done, they turn their information over to the judiciary, and every other committee gives the judiciary every other thing they've got, and then the judiciary has to write out the articles of impeachment.
There you go.
And Mitch Stone said that he would
definitely take it to trial. He said he would. He doesn't have a choice. So
that's surprising.
That's when everything comes out, you know.
A lot of this
could be behind closed doors, but when it comes to trial, that's sunlight. You'll see everything.
There's only so much this country is going to put up with. Hold on.
No. I'm not trying to throw any cold water, but there is a nominal impeachment handbook for the Senate, a trial handbook. But it's happened so seldom that they pretty much make it up as they go along. And the best instruction on that is to go back and look at the impeachment trial. There was no impeachment trial of Nixon.
That's right. He resigned, but yeah. I remember
there Clinton's. Was one of Andrew Johnson and there was one of Clinton.
Right.
And if you go back and you look at the transcripts, and I did one night after one of these conversations, you get a lot of pontificating from the senators, and very little in the way of actual evidence. For instance, they'll decide whether they actually want to hear from the witnesses or not, or how many witnesses to hear from. The Senate will determine that, not the managers of the prosecution who are members of the House.
Well, that changes everything. Mitch will have to deal with it, but they'll just blow everybody off.
Well, so in the case of the Clinton trial, they decided that they would hear testimony by video, and you're not going to have any cross examinations or Perry Mason moments in the Senate of the United States. Okay.
He'll do it himself, Bob.
And old Balls and Strikes John Roberts is going to be sitting right there to fuck anything that might fuck Trump.
Because he's going to be the Chief Justice.
Well, no, he'll...
I like the strategy of going with overwhelming force as far as the articles of impeachment, but when is too much... When is too much too much?
Can I address that, Bob?
Okay.
In terms of Nixon's impeachment process, I forget whether it was four or five articles that they considered. A couple of them were dropped. I believe the Cambodia incursion was one of the ones that got dropped. And it's better to go in with a little more than you need than to go in with just one bullet, so to speak.
There's that. But at the same time, Scott, there's an old rule of thumb out there that weak arguments always weaken strong arguments. Strong arguments never strengthen weak ones. So if there's any charge that has any inkling of being a close call, it doesn't go. I mean, for instance, all of this Ukraine business looks strong. Equally strong is the violation of campaign finance laws, insofar as the payoff, him signing the check, took place after he had entered the Oval Office. Anything that took place before he entered the Oval Office probably doesn't go. Anything that does not have judicial finality to it probably doesn't go. And so you're gonna lose, especially with regard to the contemptuous behavior in regard to subpoenas that are still in the appeal pipeline. You probably don't bring those because they are not judicially final.
I get that. Another thing to remember is what Pelosi got underway the other day, earlier in the week. We're only in an inquiry phase. This is not the actual impeachment process.
Yeah, and that impeachment process is lengthy and complex. Among other things, I might point out that today, I believe, is the birthday, it was either today or yesterday, of one Sam Ervin, Senator Sam from North Carolina, who had a lot of, who had no small number of black marks against him regarding civil rights legislation. But it went, when it came nut cutting time in the Senate with the Nixon impeachment, he was implacable, and he was an irresistible force. That having been said, the process in the House even is going to take a while, because everybody, I mean, they will have, because it's a momentous thing. You know, there's no filibuster in the House, and they generally limit things to a manageable amount of time. But just about everybody's going to get a chance to stand up and pontificate for a little while. Now that's,
well, Bob,
that's over 400. Just do the math for a minute, Steve. That's over 400 members of the Congress.
I appreciate that.
Give them five minutes each.
I heard today that they wanted to fast track it and have it to the Senate by Thanksgiving break. I heard that today.
Well,
yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I heard. As did I. But it's a process. And anything.
Yeah, my question is, why the rush? Why the rush?
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
because
all the Mueller report into this thing.
Well,
I
they
mean,
need to put some meat in the subpoenas for one thing. They send out a subpoena, and you know, they got got two choices. They could have a civil contempt against them or a criminal contempt. Don't come up here with civil contempt, because then we're going to end up in court. Do it a criminal complaint. If they don't show up for the subpoena or don't honor the subpoena, file a criminal.
Yeah, John, they could use these 2 weeks to get the jail reconstructed underneath their Congress.
Yeah. At what point are we going to put our laws before them? They're, you know, if you go into a civil contempt case, it's in court. And
well,
Bob's right, we're going to be tied up forever.
But the answer,
I don't want to see that shit.
But the answer why by Thanksgiving is because the last thing you want this thing to do is carry over into 2020 because even with this Democratic majority, among other things, they have to be able to campaign, and election year, you know, the election year half of a Congress never gets anything done.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
you're going to have primaries.
It has to be judged in the court of public opinion.
And after Thanksgiving, as far as the official House calendar is concerned, I mean, you can go and find it online. I'd be surprised if there are 9 actual working days between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, there's that, and you also lose the attention span of the public between Thanksgiving and New Year, because what do we all do between Thanksgiving and New Year?
Eat and get loaded.
You go to parties, you get loaded, you go out, you buy presents and all that.
You watch
that.
Hallmark Christmas movies, a number of things.
You take a break.
And all the important shit.
Screw our
country and all that shit. Let it all go down the tubes. Yeah. We'll all be out having, kissing somebody under the mistletoe or some shit.
My main point is you've got to lay the groundwork and have a solid case. And the Watergate hearings began, I believe, in May of 73 in the Senate, and the House Judiciary action regarding impeachment wasn't until the summer following in 74, you know? And you just
exactly
got to get the foundation. You've got to go in not only with a strong case, but you've got to have every single duck in a row.
We need to find that John Dean. We need to find the guy in this administration that has the balls enough and knows and can see what's on the wall, that this administration is going to go down, whether it be now or at the election or in history. It's going to be known for what it is.
It's called a statesman, and I don't think we have any statesmen serving.
We don't have any Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
No,
we don't. And that's what I keep screaming for.
That's what, you know.
That's exactly what we need.
You had a few statements on the right that said, hey, Mr. Nixon, this the jig is up, you know, done.
It can be inspired. I've seen what's happened just to Beto O'Rourke since this AR-15 comment that he made. I saw him addressing a crowd, and in that crowd were people holding weapons. AR-15s, baby, they're showing him, hey, we're here. And he took them on face-to-face, baby. And that's what we have to do with all of this shit. Stand up for this. You know, I've said it a lot of times, and it sounds corny and all that shit. The Republicans spent forever claiming their patriotic title. We are the patriots. We love America. Support the troops and all that shit.
They hate it. They hate America. They hate everything we stand for.
Shit. They're willing to let this president steal from their military to go build his little fantasy wall and all this shit. They're watching him degrade this country. You know, at a certain point, the only people he's going to have left are the deplorables, the guy with the rebel flag and the red hat. You know, that scumbag, the white supremacist guy.
And we all know them. Hell, they're probably our neighbors, you know, in a lot of cases.
They use the case into their private little garages for their stinking little meetings after this guy came into office are now set free amongst the population because they have a voice in our house. And we need to take the voice away. And we need to stand up for this country. If we want to claim this country, what did Ben Franklin said? If you can keep it, well, this is the time, baby. We need to keep it, and it's up to us to do it.
Hey, everybody. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, it's Bilbo.
Yeah, I've been doing Bilbo stuff here.
Bilbo, yeah. What's up, brother?
Yeah, doing Bilbo stuff out on the golf course. Is that it?
Yeah, I don't think I can build for that. Yeah, it's been a strange week. I was in Palm Springs on Monday and Tuesday, actually early, late Sunday, and then all day Monday and Tuesday, drove back early on, not that early, on Wednesday. But, yeah, golf for the first time in 33 years, got about got three pars on the back nine.
Nice.
So, you know, nice. Got kind of, you know, the rest of the time I was shooting like triple or quadruple bogeys. It's either a par or triple, yeah, or quadruple bogey. That was the kind of round I had. So
pick up the ball.
Well, Rick, I enjoyed the videos of the golf outing. You did particularly well on the windmill hole. I never get that one.
There you go.
Or the one with the crawling turtle either, man.
No concert, Rick? No concert, buddy?
Well, that was the Caboo. That'll be, yeah, I don't know if I've talked about that since.
I haven't talked to you in a
weekend
long time.
Before last, right. In San Diego. Yeah, I talked about that briefly. No concert, yes, last week, though. But
okay,
it's kind of funny.
Because, you know, the iconic lyricist of the Grateful Dead, Robert Hunter, passed away this week. And I wanted to make sure that you hadn't been anywhere near any of the surviving members of the Dead.
Rick, didn't you just say seen him not too long ago? Or?
I saw Dead and Company summer 2018 at Dodger Stadium.
Good memory.
Hottest day ever in L.A.
Yep.
I think
Rick will give you about a year, man. That's it.
Oh, hey, a little bit of breaking news. Steve shared this. Steve in New York shared this with me a little bit ago. I mentioned at the beginning of the program that Rudy Giuliani was going to go over to a Kremlin-sponsored soiree and swan around with Pootie a little bit.
I don't think so.
He has since announced that he's not going to do that. I don't know if he sobered up or what, but no.
Damn the lug.
Somebody decided that might not look so great. And, hey, we're right at the beginning of the third hour of the program, and I need to send some thank yous out. Because, you know, we do have folks who keep the program going by virtue of the United States Postal Service. And so I need to send out thanks, among others, to Dennis. Thank you, Dennis. Dennis included a lovely note who said, thanks for what you do. It is very much appreciated. I really like Friday on the Front Porch. And thank you for your kind words about Agnes, Dennis. Thank you very kindly. Thanks as well to Brandon in Brooklyn, and thanks to Jude out in the Great Northwest. Thank you all very kindly. Thanks to everybody who participates by U.S. mail to the post office box. Thank you so very kindly indeed. I just wanted to make sure that I got that mentioned, and I appreciate y'all letting me interrupt that way. But
no, it's important, Bob. I went to the post office today.
And I got
a letter from a friend.
And I got my
donation.
I meant to tell you, John. I got together with Boss Man Wayne last weekend, and I finally have my baby Trump balloon.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
It's not the one I sent you?
No, it is the one you sent me.
Oh, thank goodness. I was scared.
You gonna fly it over your house, Bob?
Well, it's not big enough for that, but I gotta go over to the Ben Franklin and see if they'll let me fill it with helium over there.
I just filled mine with air, and I got him taped up here on the wall next to on the setup here.
Well, I want to have the pleasure, you see, because I'm in West Virginia. It's kind of like being in John, I don't know if you realize this, but if we took West Virginia and a great big universal size rolling pin and we rolled West Virginia out flat, we'd be a lot bigger than Texas.
You reckon?
Yeah, because
we could get out of rolling pin. Huh? I know y'all got a lot of mountains. I ain't gonna tell you anything different, Bob, because I've been up there. It is gorgeous country,
and
it is.
I, for one, am not big on flat land unless it's by the beach. But it's bad enough they blow up the mountains, so we'll just go on being our little tiny selves. But
I don't know, baby.
But we got attitudes here like y'all got there. So when I saw that baby Trump balloon, I immediately knew that I needed to go over to the Ben Franklin in Fayetteville and see if they would fill my baby Trump balloon up and tie a little string on it, because I want to walk down Main Street in Fayetteville, West Virginia.
I love it.
With my baby Trump balloon. I might even take baby Trump balloon and visit maybe go over and visit my friends at Secret Sandwich Society or go down and visit my friends at Maggie's or take it for a walk into Big Damn Pizza. These are all
be proud, Bob. Be proud.
These are all
just wait
unpaid
for that
product
one
places.
Guy that's going to say something.
Right, somebody's coming. And I might take it down with me. I might take baby Trump down for a ride down to the Rippy Mart, or the Shell station down there where the racists and the maggots hang out.
There you go. Flaunt it around, Bob. And if it breaks, I got a backup, buddy. I'll send you another one. Did you get a card in there from Thomas Morgan?
Yes.
Outstanding. That guy sent me some more art today. This guy cooks. I'm telling you, I just love him. I call him the Picasso of the resistance. And
he's brilliant.
He is. I just love his work. But what I was going to say there, Bob, and I don't want to cut into you, but it's so important when you have your fans donate. And the Horn family donates. Today I went down there, and I had a donation from one of our Blue Dot, as a matter of fact, a friend of Thomas Morgan's, who lives at the Kraken, wherever that is. And his my post office box was due. $100, baby, you got to pay it by the first of the month, or they lock your box up there, and you can't get your shit. So there was the opportunity. I went right to the window and paid it, and there you go. If he had not done that, I'd be sweating that out. So even, and that was a very nice donation that he made, but it's even a small donation. When you give it, it goes a long way in keeping Bob on the air and keeping his voice on the air. And that is important in itself, because we got to spread this message.
Well, there
anyway,
are,
that's what I wanted to say, Bob.
Yeah. And the thing is, there are no small contributions, because every single one represents a degree of sacrifice on the part of people who are determined to keep your program and my program and others on the air. And this is no time, I'm not trying to inflate my own worth or anything, because like you, I'm just a guy with a microphone.
That's all we are.
But by creating the community and by creating a space whereby, especially for people who live in places where they feel like they're all alone and everybody else around them is wearing their little maggot hats and whatnot, you're not alone. And that's what and that's not to say these communities don't serve people who live in saner, more civilized places.
Right.
But when we form ourselves into larger communities, we make ourselves a more formidable force. And like I've been saying, it's going to be weird as shit all the way to November 2020, and we've got to do everything in our power to hang on to our own sanity.
That's
and,
it.
And it's not just yours and it's not just mine. It is collectively our sanity. So,
and also remember that Bob does his show live. You do 5 days a week, right, Bob?
Yeah, 3 hours a night, 5 days a week.
There you go.
Whether we need it or not.
I do my show 6 days a week, and it's every day. This is a job. to get ready to get the information so you don't make an idiot out of yourself like I occasionally might do.
I gave up on not doing that years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, it just falls into it. But it's important to do all the pre-work before he comes on to the show. So that's a job, and it's the only job Bob has. So that's a way to look at this, and to support him and his voice, it just goes to prove that you are appreciative of that work that he does. And yeah,
hey, Bob.
Grindstone there, Bob.
Bob, before anything, you got to give Steve a cowbell for zapping the troll in the horn chat.
Oh, good man, Steve. We had a troll.
But there was a troll in there?
Good deal.
I didn't see that.
I've got to thank you, if it's okay.
Yeah.
And this really typifies the horn family. You know, it's not just that we have good conversation. It's not just that we have great insights about things. It's not just that we talk one another in off the ledge. But the other day, one of the Horn family members, whose name will remain anonymous, took it upon himself or herself to put together a little care package for old Commander Scotty, the guru out here in San Diego, took pity on me for drinking this El Cheapo instant coffee, and sent me a lovely little coffee maker and a pound of, what is it here? I'll read it. The Mike Malloy Show blend, the Keep It Lit blend, a dark roast blend.
Outstanding.
I haven't opened it, but it appears to be ground, so I don't have to get a grinder, Bob. But here's the deal. I have searched high and low, and you know the one element that I don't have?
Filters.
For this process?
Filter.
Filters.
Do you have paper towels, Scotty?
Yeah, that'll work just fine, buddy.
Yeah, I do. I was going to ask if that
you
would work.
You can fold them up.
You bet your ass, and that's great. Scott, I'm glad somebody reached out to you like that. It's one of the things that is common in the Horn family, I'm sure, and it's true in the Blue Dot family, is that you get such joy. I get gifts and little trinkets and donations. I love it. It makes my heart. But what it really makes my heart sing is when I see the Blue Dot family reach out and make friends with each other out there.
Well, only the pound of coffee and the lovely coffee maker.
That, baby.
But I got a card.
Outstanding.
And I won't read the whole thing, but the mystery benefactor says, "Dear Scott, I hope you enjoy the flavor of River Moon, especially the Mike Malloy Keep It Lit blend. I always find your ideas and so interesting.
Well,
be well."
Scott and, always.
I mean, that touched me.
Knowledgeable,
that touched
buddy.
Me in a way that you know somebody doesn't have to do that.
That's what makes feel. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I my desk right here in front of me, y'all can't see. It is stacked with letters. I've been doing this for 3 years. We're well up over 17,000 fans on Facebook and shit. That's a lot of people. And it humbles my ass when I get so much of this that it just because it's not the gifts, it's the letter that comes with it.
Right.
And I have been told so many stories, heartbreaking stories, uplifting stories. That your heart just it continually is on this roller coaster of thrills and just heartbreak for people.
And one last thing,
the family, baby, that's what a family's made up of.
The members of the Horn family, who were scattered not only in this country but around the globe. It's a moment to acknowledge and understand and take to heart that though some of us may be in godforsaken parts of the world or the country where we feel like we're the only person of our mindset right there, we are not alone. As long as this program goes, we'll go with it. And
well,
it brightened my day. And even Chirps the cat got to. Once I took the coffee maker out of the box, she made a beeline to try to squeeze her little self into the box.
Into the box. So there was a kitty gift, too.
I'll take up one more little bit of time because I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to Bob Kincaid because when I first started with this, my little shit, when I opened my mouth and all I did was turn on a camera and gripe. and said, "Are you shitting me?" And it caught on. But when Bob Sparky reached out to me and said, "Hey, you might like this guy," and I came on this show, from the first day I came on here, I left thinking to myself, "I have a mentor. I need to watch him. I need to listen to him. This man is intelligent. He's articulate and he's knowledgeable."
Yeah,
and
you don't want to watch. It's naked radio tonight, John. You don't want to watch.
Anyway, I really do, because you inspired me to continue and to make my own show a little bit better, to try to make sure I have the facts right and not to make an ass out of myself. I appreciate that so much. And
learning,
I know,
from my mistakes, are you?
In the Blue Dot family. I know a lot of them come over here and listen to you, Bob, and I'm glad they do, baby.
Well, I tell you what, John, this is a mutual admiration society, but there's an even more beautiful element to this, because and you know, on the 24th of next month, we'll be celebrating our anniversary. We went on the air on October 25th. I'd been on the air before, but I got shit canned over in Beckley for criticizing the coal industry.
Oh, well.
And then for a variety of reasons that maybe we'll discuss on the 24th, maybe we'll have an anniversary party on the 24th.
There you go. Let's do that, Bob.
And I'll tell the whole story all over again. But on the 24th of October 2005, we debuted as a standalone internet-only program, and it's been a wild ride. And I was talking to a dear friend of mine earlier today, and I said, you know, it's kind of weird. In my previous life, about every 10 years, I'd stop and do something else, just because it was time to just let's do something else.
Right. Yeah.
And this time. If you count the on air and internet plus the internet only stuff, it's 16 and a half years or so.
Damn,
which
Bob.
Blows my goddamn mind. But
I'm only on 3 years.
But what
I'm just amazed at that long.
But when you said that I inspired you, that's really beautiful, because the reason I came back to radio is because I sat night after night, having my sanity preserved by my dear friend Mike Malloy.
There you go.
And I started listening to Malloy back when I was at CNN, and he had just left CNN and gone to WSB Radio, and I'd listen to him when I was coming home from the afternoon shift.
He would debate with Neil Bortz. They'd have a point counterpoint every morning.
I remember
Jesus
that.
Christ, Neil Bortz. Oh my God. Is that fucker still alive?
Fish is still around, but he got more of an idiot as time passed.
But Mike completely reinvented the and before I went to Atlanta, I had actually been the program director of a little AM radio station that ran a full schedule of talk radio. So I've loved the format for a long time, but they were running things like financial talk and Sally Jesse Raphael before she got a TV show. Yeah. And things like that. And I loved the format, but when I heard Mike, everything changed. And so from 1987 and then all the way through law school and everything that came after that, there were times I would sit out in my car in the driveway way deep in the country in West Virginia and stick my tongue out and hold my arm up in the air this right and bring in WLS Chicago where Malloy had gone.
Right.
And listen to Malloy at night.
Inspiration.
There.
Inspiration.
And then he left there and he went to something called IE America Radio Network.
IE America Network, yep.
And I listened to him there and called in once in a while. And eventually I told him, it was about 2003, and I said, you know, you're an inspiration to me. I did radio for a lot of years. And I'm going to get back into it. And he said, "Go, man, you'll be great." And we'd never met. We just talked on the radio, emailed and shit like that. He said, "You'll be awesome."
Right.
And so I took it. And so
he was
my inspiration. And if I've helped you along at all, John, then that means it's moving. It's It's generational. And I think it is absolutely magnificent.
I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. Before I came onto your show, what I did was I turned on my camera and I bitched, at the news stories. I'm pissed off at America. I'm a pissed off American, and that's what I was. And after I came onto your show, and because you know my style, I'm kick it in the ass. Let's go. I had to start slowing down and digging into the reason something's happening or the backstory or the reason that we do it this way. You opened my eyes to impeachment. Not only it was when you were talking about reminding everybody that impeachment is a political tool. This is not a gung ho. We're all going to get it's a political shit that we're going to do here. But that's what politics is. And you inspired me and you still do. And I still tell people, we just discussed you last night on our Blue Dot Family because Bernadette says, well, John, I go over and listen to the horn on Friday on the front porch. Good. I'm glad. And she said that because I still promote your ass. This is not a contest between anybody out here using your voice.
No. That's so important you would say that, John.
Yeah,
because I've had, over the years, people say, well, so-and-so said this about you or blah, blah, blah. Or talking about, what few of us there are out there. And I said, listen, I'm not competing with anybody. We carry on the conversations here that we carry on without regard to what somebody else has done or somebody else has said. Because we can do is what we can do. Yeah. We have no control over what anybody else does. And everybody else is, everybody else has got to find their own road.
Yes. Voice is different. Yeah. Every voice is different. And the motivation is different. But the common thread in this kind of stuff is everything we say comes from the heart. It comes because that's the way we really feel. We're not trying to sell a product. We don't have advertisers. I don't have one. Bob, you got one?
No. Sorry.
Nope. Ain't got no advertisers. This is people powered. That's how come the donations. And Bob, I know you don't like to stop the show to say, hey, we need to pay the bills. But it's an essential thing because it is people powered. So that's why the donations from the Horn family and Blue Dots out there, I would highly recommend if you can join his Patreon page, anything like that, because it makes a big difference, because the voice makes a difference. And I pump it because shows like Bob in West Virginia, my own here in Texas, Randy Kirvin, a guy we know, he's up in Arkansas. The voices are from all over. North Carolina, Andy Pagoda last night, and his health is failing, but he's still using his voice as much as he can. He loves it. And it all comes from the heart because we all are trying to save what we love most dear, our families and our country. And so it's the voice of rural America that's coming in. The Dems are always pegged as, they're the coasties. They're on the East Coast, West Coast, that's it.
Well, we're all kind of putting the lie to that.
Yeah, that's right.
And
we're showing
and
that.
I do, and I've had a bunch of people write in, from up in the Northeast or from out West who say, hey, I didn't even know people like you exist. And you mentioned the other names, Andy. It's almost like there's a little club of liberal or progressive broadcasters from what I call behind the cornpone curtain.
Yep, that's us, baby. That's us.
Well, Bob, in 2003, I think it can be said that Mike Malloy gave a prophetic word, to use a religious phraseology, in that he told you, you'll do great. And you're doing great. And I wouldn't have heard, I don't think I would have heard of you and this program had I not heard you filling in for Malloy one night about 3 years ago. So it's all connected. That's the amazing
thing.
It
webs out and it grows a family. I'm amazed that my voice has gone where it is. And we do. We have guests from Australia, the Netherlands. It just blows my ass away how far your voice can reach.
I tip the old rabbit ears or headphones to you in that in listening to you and given your legal background, just lay out the case point by point and build it to the point that you can't really draw any other conclusion about the matter, than what you've said, okay? And when I chime in, I like to, before I really discovered this program and the two-way nature of it, I was just somebody in a Barca lounger who was pissed off about the current state of things. Now I have my own little space on your platform, and hopefully go. I make cogent points that can either inform or entertain or enlighten or inspire or motivate people. And if I can do that, then
you're God knows. Mr. Peabody with the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, I swear, Scott, you're very articulate. You remember everything.
That's the other thing, you know, when the key to all this, while I'm mentioning it all, is when I came back, when I decided to get back into broadcasting, there was nobody who was going to let me do that. But lo and behold, there was a brilliant man who was holding down 2 hours a day, 5 days a week in the afternoon over at that same radio station in Beckley. And he had to go and administer a grant because he was not a broadcaster. He was an educator, still is. And that's Dr. Mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien. And I had a meeting with the guy who ran the station, who eventually would can me, no hard feelings. And he said, look, Bill's going to be gone for 6 weeks, and we don't want to run reruns or some other unlocal program. Could you do it? And I said, goddamn right I will. And so that was 2003. And from there, the story starts getting deeper. But you can't mention any of this without mentioning Dr. Bill, and he's still there as often as he can be, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, from 1 to 3. Sometimes he gets all 3 days in, but he's also got a life. But when he can get behind the microphone and when he can do those 2 hours, this is a guy who got his PhD in American history specifically on the ratification of the Constitution.
Well,
and his
he's tremendous to listen to, Bob.
Yeah,
I know you're terribly, terribly busy, John, but if you ever get a chance, you need to just go over to WhiteRoseSociety.org and check out a couple of Bill's programs, because
I will.
The guy, he is giving out for free master's degree or postgraduate level instruction in history, and nobody else is doing that. And he preaches the holy doctrine of get it from the primary source.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And you know,
Bob used to do videos of him teaching me in front of a classroom.
Yeah, yeah. During one of his grants, that's exactly right. The Prism grant. And I've learned more about American history in the 16 years that I've known Bill O'Brien than I learned in the 40 years before that.
Well, I gave you one, Bob. I didn't take up the Federalist Papers until I met you. I didn't.
Yeah,
you kept talking about the Federalist Papers. Oh, shit. There's something I got to catch up on. Because I am not, I'm a layman. And that's what I am. I have my opinions. And some people think I have a good opinion. But, you know, I don't have the knowledge that so many have. But I tell a lot of people it doesn't require that. It requires what you believe and what you're willing to put out there.
Yeah, and the effort that you're willing to expend.
That's right.
Yeah, there's an onion piece from way back that I still refer to periodically, and the title of it is something like Man Passionate About Constitution That Exists Only in His Own Mind. and it's basically
passionate about it.
Well, it's basically about your average Fox viewer,
who
only knows that what part. He's been told by people who have an agenda to make him want to behave in a certain way.
Right,
like your buddy Mark Levine. Yeah.
If you're going to do this,
Levin. There's actually a Mark Levine out there who's liberal. But no, back when Mark Levine was on this network, I used to get calls in the middle of the night from Mark fucking Levin. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd give some poor little mouth breathing, knuckle walking right winger a quick lesson in history and the proper use of vulgarities.
There you go, baby. I'm a sailor. I'm well versed in that shit. There you go.
I think it's dinner time for chirps.
Hey, so Bob.
Yeah.
Tracy, go.
I was thinking about how I was like, how did I find out about your show? And it was Brad Friedman, because I used to call in to his show on KPFK. And we developed a relationship, and he's like, had asked me, had I ever heard of Bob Kincaid? I'm like, Bob who?
That's what I said. Bob who?
I'm like, no. He's like, because, you know, Brad doesn't only has like an hour on KPFK in the afternoon. And plus, you know, you only have like about 3 minutes to talk. He's like, I think you ought to check out his show. And then, of course, you're technologically challenged and you're trying to find your show and listen. You remember when I first started listening?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't figure out how to listen to the show. And I had to call in and stay on the line.
Just to hear the program. Right. You're not the onlyest one who's ever done that.
Yeah. Since we're walking down memory lane, yeah. I remember how I discovered Bob.
Shut up, Steve. Nobody cares. Yeah. No.
All right.
But, no,
Steve,
I'm just
go, Steve. Go, man.
We want to know.
No, I was listening to Bob from terrestrial days. I did a search during dial-up. It was probably through AOL, the 28-baud modem, liberal talk, and his name popped up on this long list. Along with Mike Malloy and Randy was on there, and it's a lot of cool people. But that was back during the terrestrial days.
Yeah.
But what I was trying to say, I was listening earlier, because I was listening back and forth, and what Scott was saying about community and how people have affected, you know, my life since I've been listening to the show and how involved politically I've become, and just from my trials and tribulations, and when I would just disappear, and people would, you know, when I came back and people were like, thank God you're back, Tracy. How you doing, Tracy? You know, we miss you, Tracy. And, you know, when I do call in and, you know, the comments that people make, it lifts you up. You know,
well, you turned me on to Mary Clayton, so you're okay in my book, man.
Well, see, I found the same thing in my show that I saw here. And that is, on Bob's show, when I came on here, I recognized what a family sitting around on their couch having a discussion. It was just an open room with an open mic, and everybody could speak. And if you notice, Bob, I do a live show 3 days a week. Guess what? I do it exactly the same way.
Well, that, mine is open. Yeah, and you know. We came up with this concept of me and that mouse in my pocket. And because, you know, the genre is called talk radio.
Credit where credit's due.
What?
For the group this Friday on the
Well, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, that, yes. What I was getting at, Sparky, is the concept of not talk radio, but conversation radio.
Conversation, baby.
Because there's not a lot of information to be had out of hey Rush, I just love you out here in Busted Knuckle, and then Rush says that's enough about you, let's talk about me. Hey Sparky, are you out in the wind, buddy?
My friends, yeah, somebody is.
I want to thank Sparky also for being the one that brought me to this station.
Yeah,
so,
and see yeah. Duncan's
good people, but he's surly.
Once upon a time, we tried to do Friday on the Front Porch back when we had a very expensive telephone hybrid that Frontier would go on to fry, and we don't have any more. But after this program and after Malloy, there would be a group conversation just like what's going on here, and Sparky moderated and hosted it. And after a while, it was like, hey, let's see if we can do this during the program.
Right. Because we can invite
to what an outstanding idea!
Because we can get a lot more people. We can get a lot more people into the conversation, and the more people are talking. If we all are mindful and polite to each other, then a lot more ideas begin to circulate. Right. And you know, Darlene sent a note just a few minutes ago. Subject line: and your families are highly supportive too. Agnes for Bob, Travis for John. Behind every great liberal talk show host is family. And that's the truth. Right. And, John, do me a favor, because I've had a couple of folks write in. I know there are multiple ways to get the program, but you go live on Facebook. You can't do live on YouTube for a little while yet.
Are you still in YouTube jail?
Until October 28th, I cannot go live on YouTube. Jeez. And that really hurts.
John,
I get messages from them all the time.
Are you okay? Do I need to mail you a package?
No,
or anything?
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. You might as well put it in the mail now. I got another month to go. and it has hurt us, but our family is hanging with them, you know, because we upload the show directly after it goes off. We upload it, so our YouTube family gets to see it, you know, immediately. But it's not live, and we miss their interaction on the chat. And now I'm on Liker. Have you heard of that, Bob?
No.
Okay. No, me either.
Omar Ribeiro, the guy that founded Occupy Democrats,
sent
me a message, and he said, John, I started this new platform, and it's like Facebook without a lot of advertising bullshit. You know, you don't get no advertising. These are all posts by people that are on Liker, and it is. It's just like Facebook. You can like something, you can comment on somebody, and he said, I think platform would be good for you, and I joined it probably about 2 weeks ago.
Do you pay $1, John?
No, you don't pay anything.
There's one similar to that you pay $1, and that's it. That's all dudes asking. It's your own platform. Yeah,
you can download it on your app stores or whatever. There, just go, and it's spelled liker.com, or just the app store, just Liker.
Also, I was going to say, speaking of censorship, did you know that your senator and a couple of others, Republican senators, wrote a letter to Mark Zuckerberg to have a fact-checked about an abortion tweet taken down? A fact-check about abortion post from that crazy-ass woman who's all pro-life or whatever and spreads misinformation and propaganda, and another pro-choice group fact-checked it and put a fact-check on it, and Ted Cruz and a couple other senators wrote Mark Zuckerberg, and guess what they did? They did it. They took it down.
Sure, and there was other Facebook news out there from earlier this week. Facebook will no longer fact-check political speech.
That's pitiful. They can fact-check my ass all day long.
Which means that we're right back to 2016 again, and we'll be flooded with Donald Trump endorsed by Pope. But John,
straight from the Vatican.
If people want to catch you live, the best thing to do is either Liker or go to Facebook.
I don't Liker yet. I spoke up. The only place you can see me live right now is on Facebook on my page, John Bredevo, or on Periscope. Twitter has Periscope.
Right.
So if you go to at Blue Dot in Texas on Twitter, and you have Periscope, I'm live on that. A lot of our YouTube family has come over there so they can be with us there. But on October 28th, we'll be able to go back live on YouTube. And Liker is currently working. You know, it's a new startup and a new platform, but it's got just about everything going. But I'm not able to post live yet. That's still a feature that they're working on, and we'll have in a few months. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's wherever we can get the voice out. You know.
I just got a Facebook alert that the Necrotic Nectarines IQ latest test results came back. It's 255.
Well, absolutely.
Hey,
Facebook. I'm lost there.
I've got a couple of funny golf stories I'd like to share.
Well, please do.
Yeah, we drove. We traveled at night. We got there late Sunday night to the La Quinta area, and one of the PGA West, golf courses or whatever. You know, we stayed at a condo around. You know, I think short of the sixth hole, one of the PGA golf courses, and it's like an Airbnb. It was owned by like the sister of one of the guys on my pool team and her husband. And, the combination was like a zip code. Okay. And we like tried to, you know, get the combination and, you know, it wouldn't work.
Oh, shit.
And so, you know, so I was with my buddy John. We drove out in my car. And then the other party, you know, the other four guys arrived like maybe an hour later or so. But during that hour, like at 12:30 upon our arrival, you know, by about one, I was like Googling, okay, how do you open a locked screen door? And this
is
like,
it's a wonder the
like,
police didn't show up. Right?
Well, yeah, I know. But we were lawfully there and we made sure the number was right. So I tried to like jiggle the handle to kind of get it off the track because it was like we're talking like a 1970s technology screen door that I had, you know, when I was growing up, you know, at my house, my family house. This is an old screen door.
Step and, one,
couldn't get it to work and ended up cutting my finger. Then the rest of the party arrived and we finally decided, okay, we're going to make the most of this. We're going to make, you know, we're going to make lemonade out of lemons. We got beer here. We're going to do whatever the hell we want.
There you go. You got beer.
And then we decided at about 3 a.m., okay, we're kind of bored now. Let's go and use, you know, one of the greens at the, you know, adjacent golf course to putt. So we all went out there in the pitch black.
Did you with say our music. 3 a.m.?
I'm amazed no cops have shown up at this
3
point.
3 a.m. And, you know, unfortunately, we pulled the pin out and put the put somebody's like a light in there to make it glow so you could see the hole as you're trying to putt towards it. And we like had a little putting contest out there on the green. Oh,
Jesus, that's as bad as way back when we would go and buy the orange golf balls. I hate orange golf balls.
Oh, there you go.
We'd go and buy the orange golf balls because we would sneak onto the golf course and play in foot deep snow.
Yep. Wow. Okay.
That's dedication.
Putting was really not a thing you could do.
I would imagine. Just make a trail, Bob.
You didn't need bare feet. You didn't need snowshoes for this golf, Bob, at least. You could go out there in bare feet, you know. It was very pleasant. And, you know, so we did that a couple of nights later as well. And as I was leaving, you know, just as I was leaving, I said, okay, it'd be kind of cool to kind of hit a couple of long irons off the tee, like to the, you know, towards the hole, but like not actually beyond the course, you know. So I went like just to the right of the tee, and all I had was my 7-iron. That was the most powerful club I had, and I probably hit it about 170 yards, maybe about 20 yards short of the green.
You gorilla!
That was pretty cool. And you know, and we had
chipping. You hit 170 yard 7-iron?
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't that much. Maybe I hit one.
Put a little muscle behind that one.
Big hitter, the llama.
You should play golf more in the middle of the night.
You know, and the round we did play, I probably.
It's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Dum 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 dum.
Rick's out playing golf.
And then we called them. We kept calling them like to try to get them up. They were, I guess, at their other house in Tahoe. The other vacation home in Tahoe, and they were asleep. And finally, we reached somebody at like 6:20 a.m. And then they gave us the combination was the right combination, but for some reason it was in vacation mode, you know, because it's like an Airbnb. They got to constantly change the passcode, and ended up, you know, we finally got in. It's like, oh, hallelujah. And then we had breakfast and everything else and pretty much stayed up the whole day.
You just skipped a night's sleep?
Yeah, we skipped a night's sleep and we partied and watched the Bears beat the Redskins, which was cool.
With no chemical help.
Oh, by the way, fucking Packers.
Lots of help.
How about them Cowboys? Just saying.
Let's just say at least three different chemicals, okay?
You can leave it at that.
And a good time.
Sounds like a blast.
No, I couldn't believe that last night. The Packers had it first and goal on the fucking one.
Oh, man.
And threw it four times and came up empty.
Did you see the gift Aaron Rodgers shaking his head that popped up within about a half an hour after that?
Oh, yeah.
I sent that to some people, being disgusted with his past or whatever.
You sent that to me when I was talking to you about the tabletop, the picture.
Oh, yes. I made a joke about how the best part of the weekend was that no alcohol was consumed with beer bottles all over the table. And let's just say other things that Sparky
knows.
That's
counterproductive.
Hey, Rick, what happened to your Cubs, man? What happened?
Well,
what's going on, man?
I'm hoping they lose their last 12 of the season, because all they have to do, you know, if they can lose their last three, they would go from, you know, 82 and 68 in playoff position to like 82 and 80 for the year.
Oh, my Braves, have already clinched, so yeah, I'm sitting in the catbird seat.
Yeah, Chris, but wait, but Steve, no, don't feel too good, because the Braves have already clinched, which means they've also already choked.
Oh. Yeah, when they ever wild card, they usually was one and out. So who knows? Probably first series.
But no, I love the Braves.
I'll be rooting for the Dodgers. Sorry,
I was just asking how you was doing, man.
Oh, I'm doing terrific, man. You know, the weather's changing here in Portland. Unfortunately, you know, getting rainier, colder, this and that. But yeah, I'm watching the Bears too. You know, I'm looking forward. Huge game this Sunday, right? Game of the week against the Vikings.
Oh.
You know, we got a must win, you know. So, and my Irish lost to your Bulldogs.
Yeah,
I predicted that.
Why did you guys do that? Why did you pull each other down and just take headers and shit? That was kind of pussified, Chris, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
what was the score of that game?
He grabbed his own player and pulled him down so that we, you know, they'd get a timeout.
Mm.
Yeah,
what was the final score?
It was close.
It wasn't that close, bro.
No,
it wasn't that close.
It was kind of close.
It was Notre Dame playing a decent conference close.
Yeah, well,
17 points.
Not last year. Not as bad as last year. That was a beatdown.
It was a fun game, though.
And, you know, my Mountaineers are a 3-win team now. Wow. That may be all the wins they get, but...
Oh, come on, Bob.
They played well against NC State, and they played well against Kansas, who, you know, the previous week had gone and beaten Boston College.
Boston College is next?
No. Kansas beat Boston College, and then West Virginia went on the road to Lawrence and won out there.
So who do they play tomorrow, Bob?
Tomorrow's a great day to be a Mountaineer. We got an open date.
Yeah, we got a bye too. We got a bye tomorrow. The Dogs do.
Because then it starts getting ugly.
So do the 49ers.
Oh, that's right. They're off this week. I had to drop for my fantasy league. I had to drop Robbie Gould and pick up a kicker because
you missed one kick.
No, because of the bye. I didn't want to drop a position player, so I had to drop Gold in order to pick up a kicker.
Oh, I don't understand how to play that fucking fantasy football crap. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm in last place in my league, so I don't know either.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium, owned by Arthur Blank, where the Falcons play, we have the cleanest bathrooms. That's our bragging, right?
That's nice to know.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I'm gonna have to go mess them up.
Are you a connoisseur?
No, it was in the paper the other day. Somehow they did a poll, and we have the cleanest bathrooms in the NFL.
Oh, I thought you had like a lab coat. Yeah.
Lab coat, latex gloves, black light
with a pH stick. Yeah.
It's so clean. They have like a 7-course restaurant inside there, right? Inside the restroom.
Yeah, Kramer's cooking everything.
Yeah, the urinals run with craft beer.
Oh God!
Yeah. I also wanted to tell Bob and give a shout out to my friend Todd. Bob, we want to raise this Washington Journal is aging me, man.
Oh, it's, shit. Was it Ted Lieu that was on there this morning?
You don't get paid to be a correspondent on the Horn.
Yeah. You're a member of the all-volunteer staff. That's the volunteer part.
I've got a question for Steve about Washington Journal.
Oh, my God, it's been off the hook.
Since I call in so infrequently, what are their rules about repeat calls?
Every 30 days.
Oh, hell. The whole world could change in 30
years. Yeah, and they monitor closely. They've got, you know, that caller ID. With it's in the computerized. It'll kick you out if you try to call.
Yep.
Well, all you have to do is use your cell phone one day and use your landline another day.
I'll have to mark the date and then find out when I can next call again, and hopefully it'll be a good topic. Because everybody seemed to like my little visit the other morning.
Yeah, well, you brought a little bit of sanity into a bunch of craziness. But
they are off the fucking wall.
Jesus Christ.
What's it called, Scott?
Climate change.
Yeah, should climate change be a mandatory subject in schools?
Oh, and you said yes.
Well, of course. Of course.
And you got Emily and Harvey. They actually got out of their Barca lounges for a change. They yell, huh?
I think one of the follow-up calls made mention of one of them callers that called a little while ago. He didn't know what he was talking about. You know, nothing.
There ain't no climate change. Jesus. We got Jesus.
Make
all things new. Yeah, all things new again.
Hey, Scott, you need to figure out how these Indian call centers steal everybody's phone numbers.
I get calls every day from Medicare. I get at least eight or ten.
We
kept getting calls one day from our own phone number.
It's coming from inside the house.
The call's coming from inside the house.
Well, it's not so bad. Unless I recognize the number, I will not answer the phone. It's crazy, and it's, you know, it's shameful that things have gotten to that point.
You know why it is that way? I found this out. No. Found this out the hard way through Verizon, who it would be nice if they would make their coverage actually match their fucking coverage maps. I can't drive to the Rippy Mart and keep signal. I mean, 2 miles. 2 miles.
Jeez.
But you know, he'll be.
I have
who cares?
A signal at home.
So
if I write,
if it weren't for Wi-Fi dialing, I would have no signal here. Period. But no, the reason for that I found out is I was given a free trial period of call blocking from Verizon, and so you never even see the Indian call center calls. They don't even show up. But then the minute I let my free trial lapse, oh fuck, I was their best friend.
Do you still have a spamometer? It discontinued my call speeder, but I get a spamometer, and it'll tell you if it's spam or not.
No, see, that was part of my deal, and it's like, screw you. No, if you're not going to pay us $15 a month, and you know, it's not worth $15 a month to keep from having to cuss at people in scam centers.
Well, usually it's a robot.
It's such good entertainment.
There was a
press conference the other.
Yeah. Oh, you have a captive audience. They want to be there.
And bless their hearts. This is one of those why I love Agnes so much moments. It was years ago now, but some poor soul in a call center called. And Agnes answered the call. 2 hours later.
I love it already.
She already had them through therapy.
Yeah. Oh, she knew everything about them, knew their kids' names, knew that one of the babies had the infotego. I mean, oh, Jesus Lordy. Christ. And I just sat there watching in slack-jawed wonder.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that happens wherever Agnes goes. You know, she'll be trying to check out at the Big Lots, and the next thing you know, she's getting the life story from the cashier. You know, years and years and years ago, when the program was new, since we were wandering down memory lane a minute ago, and she shot me down so fast on this, because I was thinking about the way the internet optimizes, you know, the URLs and searches and all that shit, and all that stuff was fairly new and young and wonderful. And we had another friend who has since moved away, another brilliant conversationalist, and there was one other woman, and I said, listen, what I want to do, I want to do a women-only program, and I won't have anything to do with it. I'll just, you know, I'll just push the buttons, and I'll produce, and y'all talk, but we're going to call it the ladies' room, hot girl-on-girl action.
Boy, howdy. That'll get a few hits.
And she said, no, no, just no. The other two women were like, Bob, that's genius. But the boss said no. My God, we might own the internet by now if we'd gone with that.
You would, Bob. No, has Agnes ever been on the air with you?
Oh, yeah.
My wife has not.
When we first started, you know, we had a two-mic setup here, and she actually produced me.
Oh, I wish I could get my – I call my wife my political advisor. And I can't get her on the air. None of that's going to go. It's never going to happen. Been married 41 years. It ain't going to happen.
Because what Agnes would do is she would take the calls, and then she'd open the mic and say, Bob, we have. And then the call would go on. But after a while, it was like everybody wanted to talk to Agnes.
Well, of course.
And so she'd take
your ugly ass.
Right. So she'd take the call. I'm over in the corner with my mic pointed away, and you know these cardioid polar patterns mean that you know you're not. But so she would scooch her chair over as far away as from me as she could get, and she'd answer the call, and people just wanted to chat with Agnes.
That's great.
I was like,
Bob,
this program's going to die a painful death real quick.
No, you're going to be the one going, hello, this is Agnes's show today.
You'd be producing Agnes, Bob.
Yeah, yeah, but there was a lot more women in the chat room back then.
Yeah.
It could have been called the Bobber Net by now, Bob, if you'd have played your cards, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Exactly. not to be a total downer, but... there's something that needs mentioning before we head out the door, and there's not that much program left. But, you know, it's one of those attention must be paid moments. We lost a patriot today. I don't know if y'all saw this.
I did.
You go back to the dim and misty days of 2002, and... In the fevered run up to the filthy, dirty, criminal, illegal, nasty war, Bush at war against the innocent people of Iraq, the CIA tapped a former ambassador by the name of Joe Wilson.
Yes, I did.
To go to Niger in Africa and investigate whether or not uranium yellow cake from Niger was being transferred to Iraq in the 1990s and up into the aughts. And in January 2003, Dim Leader said, the British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa. And Joe Wilson had already been to Africa and come back and found nothing of the sort, found out that that was an entirely pathetic tissue of lies. And on July the 6th, 2003, he penned an op-ed article in the New York Times, and it was called What I Didn't Find in Africa. And he said, if my information was deemed inaccurate, I understand, though I would be very interested to know why. If, however, the information was ignored because it did not fit certain preconceptions about Iraq, then a legitimate argument can be made that we went to war under false pretenses. And whoo-wee! Oh, didn't that piss off Dim Leader? And it pissed off Count Dicula.
Yes, and Count Dicula.
And
took his revenge.
And Count Dicula got his revenge. Robert Novak, who was a pathetic piece of shit, immediately wrote a column and outed Joe Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, as a CIA operative. and burned her in the middle of her work.
I hope she wins the Senate in Arizona.
Oh, God,
yep.
Don't.
Hillary Clinton. Yep. And ruined her career.
Let's hope she wins.
She's running for Congress in New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico.
She's running for Congress in New Mexico.
Oh, I thought it was Arizona. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
If you haven't seen her commercial on YouTube, just Google it. I mean, it is awesome.
Yeah, what I've seen that. It's powerful.
She does with that Camaro.
And so they investigated the leak of Valerie Plame's identity, and the trail led back to one I. Lewis Scooter Libby.
Oh, yeah.
Who lied to reporters and committed obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was given a 30-month prison sentence, which Dim Leader commuted.
Commuted, yep.
And last year, Nitwit Nero gave him a full pardon.
Yeah.
It was a dirty, filthy, bitty, nasty piece of American history.
So he could die a
free man. But a patriot died today. And Joe Wilson was 69 years old. He died at home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And he deserves a patriot's funeral, a hero's funeral. Yes, but, you know, we really need to not forget how dirty, how filthy, how ugly, how un-American that bloodthirsty rush to war was. And all because, in the infamous words of Dim Leader, he tried to kill my daddy.
Yeah, I'm going to get him for that.
Well, I will never forgive their asses for that. Ever.
Look at the Trumpster fire. You see the rehabilitation of Bush, of W, and that regime through the magnitude worse the Trumpster fire.
Oh, W is giddy every day Donnie gets on Twitter. W's happy about it because it takes him a little off that top list.
Asa just alluded to something, and I'll bet you, Asa's kind of joking. He said, Joe Wilson didn't die. God damn it, he was executed. Because, you know, I guarantee you by next week, when I go to start sorting through my filthy lunatic shit for Wednesday, I'll find one of these assholes like Mark Taylor, the firefighter prophet, who will declare that Q had Joe Wilson.
Oh.
Executed.
Is that guy still around, Q?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I despise him. Fuck.
I have to get out of the deep
him.
State every once in a while.
Yeah. What has Q been up to lately? I'd like to know.
Oh, well, he's going to, as of this past week, Q is going to have Barack Obama executed, and Barack Obama is going to try to avoid it by saying that he really is a Kenyan.
Oh, he's going to come out.
That's good
there
to know.
You go. Yeah. Yeah,
the truth will come out then, at least.
Yeah. We'll see the real birth certificate and all that shit.
Yeah, Jesus, God.
Whacked.
Yep, they're out there, baby. Flat earthers. They're ignorant. They're all over the place. Yeah. It's just it's
I hope
sad.
You're right. They're only 30% of the electorate. I hope you're
they
right.
Are. They are.
Did you see, Barack Obama, Greta, do a terrorist fist bump?
What do you expect?
Well,
from a man that would wear a tan suit,
and his wife with her sleeveless dress.
Oh my God!
Can you imagine?
You know, it defies
our house.
It defies logic. There's no way that the Earth could be flat, because if the Earth were flat, all of the cats would have knocked everything off the edge.
Yeah,
now.
I think they got.
I have a photograph of that to prove it, Scott.
There you go. I rest my case.
There you go. They're still out there, baby.
Oh, and by the way, I ran across one other thing, and it bears mentioning on the way out the door again. I saw a story today about an interview with bankers. You know, that was the term, bankers. And I remember the Great Recession enough to remember back when we called them banksters.
Uh-huh.
And man, they haven't learned a goddamn thing. Because you got them running around now, and I think it was a CNBC interview or something like that. But the reporter claiming that bankers are talking to him, saying that they will give money to Donald Trump if Elizabeth Warren is the nominee.
Oh, God.
because she's saying she wants an economy that works for everybody, not just Wall Street. And so, and, you know, whoever these un-American scumbags are, these banksters, we need to be good to find out who they are, but B, we need to understand that these fuckers are announcing that they will support a criminal president rather than have a woman be president who, you know, doesn't want to destroy them or anything, isn't calling for them to be lined up against a wall and shot.
Take their money, Bob. It's worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maria Bartolo.
There was a famous face-to-face between Warren and Jamie Dimon. And basically she told him, hey, you know, this is not the way the economy can operate. We can't keep doing this. And Jamie Dimon said, you know, basically, I think it was right around when the Consumer Protection Agency was in its infancy and just getting rolling. And he just smiled at her and said, what are you going to do about it? What can you do? What can you really do? And she left.
Speaking of the Consumer Protection Agency, what's his name in the White House?
Mulvaney
is let go a whole bunch of people that work for that agency.
Absolutely. They've gutted it. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that and the EPA were high on their list. Mm-hmm. These are regulations that get in the way of making people money.
Mm. It was working great. It was doing exactly what it was supposed to do. It was working phenomenally. And
it's working money from the bankers.
They had to kill it.
Working too well.
Well, the story I read, and this is kind of the punchline, if that's what you call it, is that it had a quote from Joe Biden, speaking to a bunch of wealthy donors, I guess, not last night or night before, where he said to them, well, you're not going to get a tax cut under me, .. but no punishment.
Uh-huh.
See, uh-huh. Joe Biden views actually trying to level the playing field for working Americans as punishing the money.
Mm.
And I'm not trying to trash Joe, but it's hard to look at that and feel like anything is better than Trump. I will vote for anybody.
Yeah, yes.
Whoever is the nominee gets my vote. But
well, the signal that Biden was sending, though, Bob, is that, there's not going to be a tax cut, but there's also not going to be any take back of that tax cut either.
Right.
Right.
So we're going to keep things the same, and the tax cuts are good for, like, 5 years for individuals and, like, 10 years for businesses or something like that, you know?
Yeah, let's fix that.
You guys are neoliberal shills. That's all I gotta say. No, I'm kidding.
Neoliberal establishment shills. Goddamn Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
That shit's still going on.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It wasn't 2 weeks ago that I read a Democrats Need to Stay Home in 2020 article by some member of the Sparkle Fart Powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol. Yeah,
they can kiss my ass, too.
Is Pizzagate still hot? Does anyone know?
What a way to end my beer and bud Friday, buddy. I appreciate it.
I ain't got no beer and I ain't got no bud.
I got a family out there that supply me all the time with it. The beer. I just got some beer from Massachusetts, and then I got a selection of beers from a Texan here up in the Hill Country that sent me a nice selection of locally brewed.
You know, I do have to say, and I know it's not a craft beer or anything technically, but I genuinely like and enjoy an ice cold Shiner on tap.
Oh, man. Shiner Bock, it's a good beer.
There's a restaurant in D.C. That's on the house side, and it's just down the hill from the house office buildings, It happens to be one of the few places that Paul Ryan ever actually worked a real job. He was a waiter there once. It's called.
You ought to see Shiner. It ain't much, Bob.
It's called.
Would have worked good with that crab cake you had, my friend.
Yeah, it's called Tortilla Coast, and they've always got a couple of different styles of Shiner on tap. And I can tell you, after you've walked about 15 miles in the halls of the house office buildings, one of those before you head home is mighty fine.
Mighty fine. Well, you know, on my show every Friday is Beer and Bud Friday. That's when we get the beer on ice, Bud in the bowl. If you're so inclined, and if you're in a legal area, well then, you know, get ready. It's the weekend. It's time to relax. Yeah,
I might have
to. That's what we do.
I got a link from Randy in PA earlier for some grilling tools that have like LED lights built onto them.
You need that, Bob.
I need that. Because I'm thinking now it's done.
It's going to get dark earlier.
It's done. Got dark here in the hills by now.
Winter is coming, Bob.
Oh,
winter
I know. Is coming. Oh, you have no idea. It scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, I know.
I get so sick of freezing here. Down and we in the 50s,
it chills
the
me.
The rain is going to suck in L.A. In L.A., Bob, I tell you. You know.
You grilled a crab cake. Everyone in Baltimore is wincing right now.
Why? What did I do wrong?
Nothing. You're supposed to fry them.
Well, that's what I did. I hotted up the griddle, put some butter on it. I mean, what, do you deep fry them?
Yes.
Oy, yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, yes, Scott.
I've never had a deep fried crab cake.
Oh, you gave Bob an inspiration.
All of mine have been pan fried.
Pan fried, Bob, flipped over.
Bob mentioned, I think, the other day that you're originally from Baltimore, which I never knew. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
When did you leave the Baltimore area?
Around 1982, right around the time the Colts did, when they shanghaied and skunked out in the middle of the night. It was that same time frame. Yeah, it was just coincidence.
The reason I ask, on the land side, not the beach side, but the land side of the Bay Bridge, in Annapolis, going over to the Eastern Shore, there used to be a place called Bush's, Crab House. And they had, without a doubt, the best fucking Maryland crab cakes I've ever had. Those things were approaching 3 inches thick. Maybe 2.5 inches.
God, I have to wait to the end of the show for the food porn. Y'all are making me hungry.
I couldn't have made it all three hours if we'd done this earlier, John.
Well, there's no shiny honey in here, so we made it through a good night, buddy.
Well,
there's a place called Schultz's Crab House on Old Eastern Avenue, and I know what you're talking about, but Schultz's beat them all, man.
Right.
Their crab cakes were the size of softballs, and they were deep fried. It was all back fin meat, very little filler. Yeah. My gosh, man.
Yeah, well, that's how Bush's was, and I'm telling you. Oh, my.
Well, I've heard that the Chesapeake Bay is a disaster area. That blue crab is having a real tough time.
I just had a dozen flown in Wednesday, and they were all paperweights. They were real light, and I had them call and complain. They're going to send me another dozen tomorrow, so we'll see.
Wow. Mm.
I can't tell you the last time I had a big table full of Maryland crabs. Jesus. And they're only good if you eat them. Don't use a paper tablecloth. Use newspaper.
Newspaper.
It adds something.
Yeah.
It adds something to the experience.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy.
Corn or just anything else you want down in there with it. Yep.
I got to go back east. I haven't been back east for too many years.
Hey, guys, I got something I want to ask.
Go for it.
Well, I just wanted to tell everybody, like, yeah, I'm a 30-year-old guy and everything, but I was just diagnosed recently with a stomach ulcer, and I just want to know if anybody else has had that before, and if you do, just let me know what your advice for it is. They gave me some meds that might not – I don't know if they're working or not. So if anybody knows what that's like or anything, I know like Bob had stomach issues like 2 years ago, and I'm wondering if maybe you were doing the same thing, you know. So,
Bob, you there?
I'm right here. I'm just listening.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, I was concerned. No, I've never had an ulcer.
Well, at one time they were treatable with amoxicillin and another antibiotic.
I'm trying to give myself one nowadays, though.
Yeah.
I know that when people do have stomach ulcers, that they tend to have a real bland diet, no spices, nothing hot, lots of milk. I don't know if that's still the protocol or not.
They used to think they were chronic, but they have since discovered that you can, they'll go dormant. I don't know if they ever totally
well,
go away.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, my recollection is if there's the bacteria A. pylori present, then it has to be treated with an antibiotic.
Yes, that's where your
mouth
goes.
Yep.
Is that what you have? Is it A. pylori?
Mine is further down in the. It's like in it's in the small intestine, like the very bottom. Like
okay, have you been tested though for the possible presence of A. pylori or not?
That sounds like a
yeah. Because the neat thing about A. pylori is that it is curable and it's easily curable.
It all started Labor Day weekend. I thought I had went to a couple cookouts and I woke up Tuesday morning right after Labor Day weekend thinking, you know, I felt bad. I thought, man, I must have ate something bad. And then I crafted it out or whatever. And then I felt good for a couple of days. And then I started feeling like this, like how I am now. And maybe bacteria, man. Maybe it was some kind of bacteria thing. You guys might be onto that. Thanks a lot.
For years, they thought that the common thought was that ulcers were caused by stress. And in more recent years, you're right; it is a bacteria source.
And the thing is, like I said, it's easily curable, and the cure is over the counter. You know, omeprazole. Omeprazole. You might need like a strong. You probably want to put a prescription dose, but those proton pump inhibitors, whether it's omeprazole or pantoprazole or
Prilosec,
those things that they cure H. pylori. Well, anyway, we're going
to medicine. I don't care what we talk about around. When you come to this show, you're going to learn stuff every time you come. And if you come with a question, baby, because you're probably going to find the answer right here.
Yeah, somebody going to answer it. And by the way, Christopher, when you said crapped it out, you were just responsible for ruining dinner in the Pacific time zone. That one, by God, is on you and not me.
You can't blame him, Bob. Jeez,
I'm not blaming. I'm just pointing it out. I mean, I get Bob just ruined
how
dinner
many times
in the Central
been
time zone.
Watching the TV and you seeing the crap in the box commercial, you know.
The one I love. Agnes.
That's really easy to do.
Agnes and I are big fans. Agnes and I are big fans of the Guardians. Agnes and I are big fans of the Guardians of the Galaxy series 1 and 2, and at the beginning of the second one, you know, Drax is famous for his failure to understand words, and so at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, there's talk of annulary batteries, which he translates as harbulary batteries. And there's an exchange about how it's not even remotely close to what the word is. But now there's some drug out there, and we see the ad for it every morning during our filthy little morning habit. And it says, do not take if you've had medullary thyroid cancer. And the inside joke now is that Agnes and I look at each other, and we go, what? Harbulary thyroid cancer?
Yeah.
Jesus, these drug ads.
In fairness to Chris, to crap something out is a perfectly legitimate expression, and I think the American body politic will need to do that with Mr. Trump from November 2020.
It's a colon blow of epic proportions.
Yeah, we need your sample. We need a big dose of political.
And you can learn metaphors here.
Yeah, come November of 2020, and the quadrennial one-question national IQ test. We need, America needs, a great big dose of political castor oil.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
crap it
Absolutely.
out.
Absolutely. The toilets across the country are going to be overflowing, right?
Hopefully. And every spring, the toilets explode. All right, we got to get out of here. We're over time. But, man, it's been a fun conversation this evening. Thank you so much, everybody. I always enjoy these little ongoing back and forth. It's a blast. Thanks to everybody who keeps this whole program going, whether you're a subscriber at PayPal or at Patreon or ad hoc through the course of the month. Thank you so very much. It does not exist without you. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter how you so do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you in the chat room and in Skype to Sparky. Thank you to Steve in the chat room, who wielded the lightsaber with real aplomb this evening, getting rid of a troll. Thank you. And thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, celebrating 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.